foaming glass of Ballantine beer, the crisp refresher. And remember that the game is brought to you by the Atlantic Refining Company and your Atlantic dealer, who offers you Atlantic Imperial gasoline, the gasoline that keeps your car on the go. Get Atlantic Imperial at your Atlantic dealers today.
When you want to go places and be free, what a pleasure your driving can be.
For quality products and top-notch service, your Atlantic dealer is the man to see. Atlantic keeps your car on the go, 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 go. Keep on the go with Atlantic.
Looks like a miserable day here in Boston has suddenly turned into a real fine day for baseball. It was very overcast all last night and most of this morning, and suddenly the sun has broken through and we can see a lot of blue up in the sky. The wind, which was quite a factor in those home runs in yesterday's game, is practically nil. The flag is hanging just about straight down, which, of course, the pitchers are very happy for. The hitters aren't, but a home run will have to be earned today. Yesterday, there were a few wind-blown homers, but, of course, they all count. The ground crew has just finished taking rid of the bad spots, getting rid of the bad spots on the infield and putting the batter's box and the catcher's box down at home plate. And the ball game will be ready to go in just a few minutes. And before the game starts, why not enjoy a tall, foaming glass of beer, the crisp refresher? Now we've got the starting lineup for you, so if you're all set to really enjoy the game, light yourself a Winston, and you'll find yourself saying, "Winston tastes good, like a cigarette should." For the New York Yankees, leading off playing right field will be Hank Bauer. Norm Sieben will be batting second, playing left field. Mickey Mantle will be the center fielder, hitting in the third position. Elston Howard, who had 5 for 6 yesterday, will be catching and batting fourth. Bill Scourin, who had quite a day himself yesterday, with a single, a triple, and a home run, will be playing first base, batting fifth. Andy Carey will be at third base, batting in the sixth position. Tony Kubek will be playing shortstop today, batting sixth. Bobby Richardson moves from short over to second base and will be batting eighth. And Johnny Cook will be doing the pitching and batting ninth. Now, Kubek is in a short, and Richardson has moved over to second because Gil McDougal was struck on the hand by a pitch ball yesterday thrown by Bill Monbouquet, the right-hander. And we were visiting with Gil in the clubhouse a little while ago. His right hand is swollen. And yet he says that's not what bothers him the most. The ball caromed off his knuckles of his right hand and struck the top of his thumb of his left hand. And he said his thumb is giving him more pain than the right hand. The x-rays showed that there were no bones broken, but Gale will be out of the lineup, according to Gus Marsh, the Yankee trainer, for at least 3 or 4 days. For the Boston Red Sox, leading off playing shortstop will be Don Button. Pete Reynolds will be at second base and batting second. Gene Stevens, the center fielder, hitting in the third position. Jackie Jensen will be in the cleanup spot playing right field. Frank Malzone batting fifth and playing third base. Dick Gernot is the first baseman, batting sixth. Gary Geiger will be out in left field, hitting in the seventh position. Sammy White doing the catching and batting eighth. And Ike DeLock, right-hander, will be pitching and batting ninth. The umpires for today's game, calling balls and strikes, will be Frank Tabachi. Down at first base, Joe Paparella. Out in second base, Ed Hurley, and over at third base, Ed Runge. The Red Sox now have 1-3 and lost 3 on the year. The Yankees are now 4-2 on the year. They've won 4 and lost 2. And in some of the games played yesterday, we'll give you the winners. In the American League, the Detroit Tigers finally won their first game of the 1959 season, defeating the Chicago White Sox. The The Baltimore Orioles have won their third game in a row. They defeated the Washington Senators. The Yankees defeated the Red Sox. And the Cleveland Indians, still undefeated, took over the Kansas City A's yesterday in the National League. The Dodgers defeated the Cubs. The Giants defeated the Cardinals with Jack Sanford pitching a one-hitter. The Phillies showed a lot of power yesterday in beating Cincinnati. And as the Red Sox take the field, let's see who the other two teams in the National League are that I left out. Got the Giants, the Phillies, and the Dodgers. And the Pirates won their first game of the 1959 season, defeating the Milwaukee Braves, handing the Braves their first loss of the season. And the Pirates at Milwaukee are postponed because of cold weather. And Detroit and Chicago postponed because of cold weather. Looks like another storm is hitting the Midwest. In the American League, Washington at Baltimore, doubleheader. Kansas City at Cleveland. Philadelphia at Cincinnati. Chicago at Los Angeles. And St. Louis at San Francisco. That's the lineup for all the action. Look at Casey down there. He's kidding with the fans. They were getting on Casey a little. He made believe he was going to charge into the stands. Casey's always good for a good laugh. Especially when his team wins the game as decisively as they did yesterday against the Red Sox. Case was a little worried before yesterday's game. He said the boys hadn't shown the power that he knows they have. But yesterday they really broke loose. Casey said that he had planned a few lineup changes if the boys didn't produce, and evidently that spurred them into action, and they certainly pounded that ball all over the lot, getting 18 base hits and 16 runs. Hank Bauer leading off for the New York Yankees, stepping into the batter's box. Out of the mound, Ivan Martin Gallach, nickname Ike. Born in Highland Park, Michigan, he's 5'11", 178 pounds. Last year, Gallach won 14 and lost 8. The right-hander into the windup. The first pitch of the ball game is right down the middle. Strike one call. On deck, Norm Seaborn. Gary Geiger in left field is his back right against the left field fence. Gallach's next pitch to Bauer is a curve that hangs above the letters, ball one, one and one. Frank Crisetti coaching down at third. Over at first is Ralph House for the Yankees. Gallach's 1-1 delivery to Bauer is low outside, ball two, two and one. Gallach was the winningest Red Sox pitcher in the 1958 season. He won his first 10 decisions of the season without a defeat. The 2-1 pitch, Bauer swings and pops it up and back of the plate. Sammy White is coming back and makes the catch just in front of the screen for out number one. Hank Bauer fouls out to Sammy White. The locked record against the Yankees last year, he won two and lost two. That'll bring up Norm Seaborn. Bauer went up there batting 292. Seaborn is batting 320, 8 for 25. Bauer and Seaborn both lead the Yankees in doubles. They have two. The Locks' first pitch is strike one call. Slider down around the knees. Gallach's next pitch to Seaborn is just inside, ball one, one and one. Gallach served with the United States Marines. The 1-1 pitch is low, ball two, two and one. Zone in a third. The 2-1 pitch is pop foul out of play and back of home plate. 2-2 the count. Ball game just underway in the top of the first inning. No score. This is the third game of a four-game series up here at Fenway Park, the Yankees and the Red Sox. Mickey Mantle on deck. The lock ready now. The windup. The pitch is hit deep to left field, way back there. And up on the screen for a home run. As a matter of fact, that ball hit the wooden pole that runs up and holds the screen on to the top of the wall here. And Norm Seabron hits a home run to the opposite field with tremendous power. I mean, that ball was really hit. The Yankees take the lead 1-0. And just yesterday, Casey Stengel was trying to convince Norm Seabron that he shouldn't try to pull the ball in this park here at Fenway with that short left field wall. And it looks like Seabron kind of listened to the old master, the old professor, Casey Stengel, and he went the opposite way and really drilled one high in the screen. The Yankees lead 1-0. For Seabron, that's his second home run of the year. As a matter of fact, he hit a home run to beat the Red Sox in the opening game at Yankee Stadium. Here's Mickey Mantle batting an even 200. Mickey takes the curve high, ball one. Mickey looking for his first home run of the year. It's 5-for-25. Has one double, his only extra base hit. Got that yesterday here. Has four RBIs. The lock's next pitch is high outside, ball two. 2-0. The lock 2-0 pitch to Mickey is hit through the middle and out to center field. A base hit for Mantle. Right over the middle. Right over second base. Mantle singles to center. So the Yankees are continuing their heavy hitting, which they started in yesterday's ball game. Here's Elston Howard, who had 5-for-6 yesterday. Howard raised his average to an even 500, 10-for-20. One double, one homer, 7 runs batted in. On deck, Bill Scarron. Gernot holds first against Mickey Mantle. The lock stretches. Pitch to Howard is a curve foul to the right of home plate, strike one. Frank Tabachi fires a new baseball out to Ike DeLock. The lock sets, Mantle leads away. The pitch to Howard is low outside, ball one, 1-1. One ball, one strike, one out. The pitch is low outside, ball two, 2-1. The lock stretches. Mantle leads off first. The pitch is popped in the air and back of the plate. Sammy White is coming back again and makes the catch again right in front of the screen. Four out, number two. And both Bauer and Howard have fouled out to Sammy White. Back of home plate. Mantle fakes tagging up and going to second after the catch. Sammy White threw the ball down to second, but Mickey remained at first. Two out. Here's Bill Scarron. The Moose is 7-for-22, batting .318. He has one double, one triple, two homers, and 9 runs batted in, leads the Yankees in that department. Two out, Mantle at first. The Yankees lead 1-0 here in the top of the first. The pitch to Scarron is inside, ball one. Stretched by DeLock. There goes Mantle. The ball is hit straight away center field, way back there. Stevens going back 2 going back and makes the catch in deep center field on the cinder path. Man, that ball was tagged. And what a jump Mantle had. By the time Stevens caught the ball, Mickey was almost home. So for the Yankees, in the top of the first, one run on 2 base hits. No Red Sox. There is one man left. Score at the end of one half inning of play. The Yankees 1 and the Red Sox coming to bat.
With fine spring days at hand, you'll probably be doing a lot of extra driving, that figures, and naturally you want your car performing at its very best with lots of pickup and go. That's what you get with Atlantic Imperial Gasoline. Imperial brings out the best built into any car. Top power, real live action when you step down on the accelerator, and long, long mileage that helps you get the most out of your gasoline dollar. So, for business or pleasure, whenever you're on the go, stop in at your Atlantic dealers and fill up with Atlantic Imperial, the gasoline that's better to start with and better to stay with all the way. Well, tomorrow is a big holiday in Boston. It's Patriots Day, and the Red Sox and Yankees will play to honor the day. And, of course, the big event in Boston is the famous marathon race that usually takes place in the morning. So the Yankees and the Red Sox will be on the air tomorrow at 1:55, as all of Boston celebrates Patriots Day. Johnny Cook's out taking his warm-up pitches. And Don Button moves into the batter's box to lead off for the Red Sox. Cook's trying to make a comeback for the Yankees. After a big year the year before last, Johnny had a combination of troubles last year and hopes to forget it all now. Here's the pitch.
This pitch to Button is low, ball one. Button is batting .263. He's 5-for-19, but he has 8 base on balls already. And has been able to get on base at least once in every game so far for the Red Sox. There's a high foul coming back. Elston Howard chasing it back to the stands, but the ball comes back in about the fifth row of box seats and out of play. One strike on Don Button. One ball, one strike. Johnny Cook sends an overhand curve high, ball 2-1. Johnny is 6'3", 183 pounds, born in Hoboken, New Jersey, now lives in Hillsdale, New Jersey. The 2-1 pitch is inside and low, ball 3-1. Yankees have Steven in left, Mantle in center, Bauer in right. Carey at third. Kubek is at short. Richardson is at second. Scarron at first. Howard catching and Cook pitching. Gil McDougal hit on the right hand and left thumb by a pitch ball yesterday. Will be out of action for a few days. A 3-1 pitch in there. Strike 2. Full count on Don Button. Jack Burns is coaching at third. And Dave Ferris over at first for the Red Sox. On deck, Pete Reynolds. Cook swings into the windup. Here's the payoff pitch to Button. It's hit on the ground. A short. Kubek is up with it. Throws to Scarron, and it's one away. So they test Kubek out right away. His first start is short, and he handles the ball flawlessly. Brings up Pete Reynolds, who has really been murdering that Yankee pitching. Pete's batting .409. He's 9-for-22. 3 doubles. And 3 RBI. On deck, Gene Stevens. Reynolds bats left-handed. Cooks his first pitch is right in there, strike 1 call. Strike pitch. The curve is way inside. Makes Pete dance back. Ball 1-1-1. Reynolds lost the batting championship by 6 points to his teammate Ted Williams. Pete batted 322 last year, Williams 328. And it was a close race right down to the last day of the season. Here's a 1-1 pitch. Inside, ball two, 2-1. Johnny Cook checks the sign from Elston Howard. Here's the pitch. It's fouled on the left field line, back into the seats and out of play. Right, 2-2. The fans in the stands here at Fenway Park have to be on their toes. They're right close to the field. And those foul balls shoot in there, a mile a minute. The 2-2 pitch. High outside, ball three, 3-2. Johnny Cook trying to come overhand that time. So Cook has had a 3-2 count on the first two batters. Got Bud in the ground out. Let's see what he does with Reynolds. Here's the payoff pitch to Pete. He swings a slow ground ball to the left of the mound. Cook is up with a slip to Scarron in time for the out. Two ways. And that'll bring up Gene Stevens. With the Yankees leading 1-0 here in the bottom of the first inning. Stevens batting 269. 7 for 26. He leads the Red Sox in RBIs with 7. Has 3 doubles. Stevens, a left-hand batter. 6'3", 185 pounds. Takes the curve way inside, ball one. Jackie Jensen on deck. Two away, nobody on. Cooks his next pitch is a slow curve that pops foul outside of third. Carey chasing it, but it goes back over the Yankee dugout and into the seats. This is a good park for bench jockeys. The dugouts are very close to the third base and first base here at Fenway Park. One ball, one strike to count on Gene Stevens. Cook delivers a curve high outside, ball two, 2-1. This crowd looks a little bit larger than yesterday's crowd. A lot of fans staying away because Ted Williams isn't in the lineup. The pitch to Stevens is hit on the ground between first and second. Richardson up with it. Over to Scarron in time for the out. A nice play by Bobby Richardson, who fielded that ball back on the outfield grass going to his left. Flipped the ball off balance to Scarron to nip Stevens, who can fly down that line. So for the Red Sox, in the bottom of the first, no runs, no hits, no Yankee errors, nobody left score at the end of one full inning. The Yankees won and the Red Sox nothing. Now let's take a look at the scoreboard in the American League. Washington is at Baltimore for a doubleheader, and the Senators came up with one run in the top of the first inning when Reno Batoya homered. Baltimore batting in the bottom of the first. Pascual against Odell. Detroit at Chicago postponed because of cold weather. This time of the year, they're having that cold weather out there in the Midwest. Kansas City at Cleveland at the end of one inning, nothing, nothing. Herbert against Score. In the National League, Pittsburgh at Milwaukee postponed because of cold weather. Philadelphia at Cincinnati at the end of an inning and a half. Cincinnati won, the Phillies nothing. Owens started for Philadelphia. Short came on in the second. O'Toole is pitching for Cincinnati. Chicago is playing at L.A. and St. Louis at San Francisco, and they start much later on. Don't forget, the advance ticket office at Yankee Stadium is open today from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and every Sunday during the baseball season. Tickets for all Yankee home games will be on sale. Andy Carey will lead off for the Yankees here in the top of the second. The Yankees are leading 1-0. Ike DeLock on the mound for the Red Sox. Carey swings and fouls the first pitch down the first baseline. Ralph Houck, the Yankee coach, is up with it. Andy is batting 409. 9-for-22. He has one homer and four runs batted in. The pitch is inside. Man, now that missed Carey's uniform shirt. Way inside, and he really sucked in his breath. Pulled his stomach in. One on one to count on Carey. Nobody out, nobody on in the second. The curve is high inside, ball two. 2-1. The lock swings into the windup. The fastball is fouled back against the screen. Strike two, 2-2. And that time the ball came up the screen. Hit the tap just before our radio booth here and kicked off to the right back end of the stand. Souvenir for the fans. Something that very seldom happens. Here's the 2-2 pitch. High inside, and Andy pulled that right hand away. He had visions of Gil McDougal getting hit yesterday. Gil got hit with the same type of pitch on his right fist. Andy just took his right hand off the bat and stuck it in his pocket. Full count on Carey. Here's the payoff pitch to Andy. A ground ball hit slowly to third. This is going to be trouble. Malzone fires to first. Just in time to get Carey. Oh, man. Malzone had to really fire that ball. It was one of those swinging bunts. And Ralph Houck, the Yankee first base coach, was giving the safe sign, but first base umpire Joe Paparella gave the out sign, and it's his decision that counts. And I didn't think Malzone was going to get Carey on that one. Frank was playing deep, and Carey topped the ball. But Malzone can fire that day. One away. Here's Tony Kubek. Kubek has been up twice, pinch hitting both times. He's 0-for-2. Left-hand batter. Takes the fastball in there, strike one call. The one strike pitch to Tony is a curve pop foul out of play. Strike two. Tony's 6'3", 185 pounds from Milwaukee. Last year, batted 265. But in his first year with the Yankees, he batted 297. Flipped a little bit last year. Fastball is just below the knees, ball one. Sammy White fires the ball down to third base. He thought that was strike three, and played umpire Frank Sabatchi takes his mask off and tells Sammy White not to show him up. And by showing him up, Sabatchi means that White thought it was a strike, even though Sabatchi called it a ball. Sammy White, even after Sabatchi called it a ball, fired the ball down to third base. And it does make the umpire look a little bad in the eyes of the fans. So the fans get on Frank a little bit. One ball, two strikes on Tony Kubek. Yanks lead 1-0. We're in the top of the second. One out. No one on. The pitch to Tony is popped foul near the Yankee dugout, and it's going back into the seats out of play. One ball, two strikes. On deck, Bobby Richardson. The one ball, two strike pitch is hit on the ground at second base. Reynolds is up with it. Over to Gurnett, and it's two away. Two outs, and the batter, Bobby Richardson. While Bobby's digging in at home plate, I'd like to wish my daughter Cynthia a happy birthday. Today is Cindy's 12th birthday. Hate to be away, but we'll be home soon, Cindy, with a present or two. So hang in there. Bobby Richardson takes a fastball right down the middle, strike one call. Bobby's batting 182. He's 4 for 22, has one double, two RBI. There's a fly ball to straightaway center field. Stevens with the glasses down. Under it, makes the catch for out number three. For the Yankees, in the top of the second, no runs, no hits, no Red Sox errors, no one left. Score at the end of an inning and a half. The Yankees won and the Red Sox nothing.
Say, spring is in the air. Spring with its pudgy robins on the lawn, the old cry to play ball, the picnics, the refreshing drives in the country. Yes, the time of year to go places and to do things. And what about going places? Your car. Is it in top shape for this brand new driving season? Let's face it, after a long, hard winter, your car is ripe for a complete checkup. And there's no checkup more complete than Atlantic Safety Service Lubrication. Besides the thorough lubrication, your trained Atlantic dealer carefully checks many other safety areas, such as your battery, the fan belt, radiator, tires, windshield wipers, lights, just about everything. And all these extras at no extra cost. Then he wraps it up with a service report, which shows you exactly what's been done and what kind of shape your car is in. A good deal? You bet. And a good man to know, too. Your Atlantic dealer. He'll keep your car on the go with his thorough safety service lubrication. Jackie Jensen leading off for the Red Sox in the bottom of the second inning. And Jensen, before the start of today's game, was presented with the Most Valuable Player Award based on that great season last year. Okay, Phil.
And he just started a hit the last four innings of yesterday's game. Come up with a single and two homers. Jackie's batting 250. Johnny Cook's ready. The pitch is hit deep to left. If it stays fair, the ball game's tied up. And a curved foul way over the screen and across the street. Jackie Jensen pulled one, I'd say, no more than 2 or 3 feet foul, deep over the left field wall. Third base umpire Ed Runge followed that ball all the way down the line and just waved his foul at the last second. So it looks like Mr. Jensen has got his eye back, his batting eye, that is. One strike on Jackie. Johnny Cook's ready. Sidearm curve is in there. Strike two. Nothing in two on Jensen. On deck, Frank Malzone. Here's the two-strike pitch as Cook double pumps. Overhand fastball, he swings and foul tips it. Howard just couldn't hold on to it. That pitch completely fooled Jensen, and that is the secret of Cook's coming overhand. He uses it sparingly, just in spots. Most of the times when he's ahead of the hitter with two strikes, maybe one or two balls, he comes directly overhand, and the batter sees it so seldom during the game that he's kind of confused. And Jackie just had a half-hearted cut at it, managed to get a piece of the ball, and it dropped out of Howard's glove. Cook's ready again. Sidearm fastball is low, ball one. One ball, two strikes. It's tougher to hit a pitcher who has several different ways of delivering a ball than it is to hit one who delivers it the same way. A one ball, two strike pitch to Jackie. Overhand curve is foul. Look. Oh, man, I thought I was going to get that one. Just went over our heads. Happy Durkin was sliding around up here in the booth. One ball, two strikes on Jensen. He's having his cuts up there. Looks ready. Changeup is lined into right field for a base hit. Jackie Jensen placed that ball beautifully, went with the pitch. A changeup on the outside corner, and Jackie, very wisely, instead of trying to pull it, just went with it. Hit a solid line drive over Richardson's head into right field. The first hit of the ball game for the Red Sox. And Jensen now has four base hits in his last four times at bat. That brings up Frank Malzone. Malzone is batting 217. 5 for 23. Takes the fastball low, ball one. Malzone has not started a hit with the authority that everyone knows he's capable of hitting. He is right up there with the leaders in RBIs, and he has yet to drive in his first run of the year.
WOKO, Albany, New York.
The pitch is swung and a miss. The throw to second goes into center field. Jensen has stolen second and stays there. Jackie had slid hard, and the ball went into center field. He could easily have made third, but he was in an awkward position. His one foot had hooked the bag, and it was sort of stuck under there, and he couldn't make himself get up and continue to third. It'll go as a stolen base for Jackie Jensen. It was sort of a delayed steal. He didn't break with the pitch, and it confused Elston Howard a little bit. Ellie throwing late and low. The ball got by Richardson. No error on the throw. Jensen is at second. One ball, one strike on Malzone. Nobody out. Yankees lead 1-0 here in the bottom of the second. Fastball is low. Ball two, two and one. Malzone, swinging at the pitch on which Jack Jensen was running, was protecting the run. Of course, the pitch was low and away, and it very possibly could have been the hit and run was on. Cook stretches. 2-1 pitches, a curve hit out towards short. Kubek is up with it. Over to Scarron in time for the out. Jensen has to remain at second base. And not bad in this series so far. Malzone has grounded to shortstop at least five times. Might even be six times in this three-game series. Four times so far in this series that Malzone has hit the short. He's out in front of the ball a little bit, and he's a little over-anxious to swing, and that's what makes you hit that ball without power and pull to the left side of the diamond. All right, here's Dick Gernot, the big first baseman. He lines one deep to right center field. Bauer digging back, way back, and makes the catch. Jensen tags up easily, goes to third, and there is a tough break for the Red Sox. If Malzone could have advanced Jensen to third, he would have scored easily after that catch, as Gernot hit that ball deep to right center. Bauer running over and making a fine catch. And now it's two away with a runner at third and the batter Gary Geiger, the left fielder. Gernot went up there hitting .333. Geiger batting .217. Geiger, a left-hand batter. Outfield switches around towards right on Gary. Perry not playing too deep at third. Jackie Jensen leading off third. Johnny Cook watching him very carefully. Jensen, a real good base runner, capable of stealing home. Here's the windup. Pitch to Geiger is a curve outside, ball one. 1-0 in favor of the Yankees. We're in the bottom of the second inning on what has turned out to be a beautiful day for a ball game. 1-0 pitch. Low curve is strike one call. Just catches the inside corner. One and one to count. Two away. Cooks his next pitch. Overhand curve is fouled back against the screen. Strike two. One ball, two strikes. Wind up by Johnny. Overhand fastball is in there. Strike three called. That's that overhand pitch of Cook's that's so effective with two strikes for the Red Sox in the bottom of the second. No runs, one hit. No Yankee errors. One man left. Score at the end of two full innings. The Yankees won, the Red Sox nothing, and we pause for station identification.
At 1460 on the radio dial, WOKO, Albany, New York. Immediately following the game, listen for Troy Buick's baseball wrap-up.
Playing it smart this year, I mean about your heating oil supply. You know, it's a wise practice to keep your tank full even during the warm weather season, and wise to make it triple refined Atlantic heating oil. Clean, modern heat will be so important to you and your family next fall. So plan ahead now to make sure you'll have it when you need it. Call Atlantic Direct or your local Atlantic heating oil distributor. The Yankees leading 1-0 as we start the top of the third inning. Norm Seaburn's first inning home run, the difference in the ballgame so far. Ike Gillock opposing Johnny Cooks of the New York Yankees. The Yankees and the Red Sox so far in the series have divided the first two games. The Red Sox winning behind Tommy Brewer on Saturday. And yesterday, the Yankees came back to clobber the Red Sox 16-7. Cooks is going to lead off in the top of inning number three, first time at bat. Ivan DeLock peering into Sammy White for the sign. First pitch is high, ball one.
Cooks has not been up to the bat officially so far this year. Ike Gillock is out on the mound for the Red Sox. Fastball is in there, strike one, 1-1. Cooks is not the best hitting pitcher in the world. He's not the worst either. It's a piece of the ball. 1-1 pitch is lined just foul outside of first. Bounces off the wall, retrieved by Jackie Jensen. One ball, two strikes. The lock ready. Delivers a fastball foul out of play to the right. Out holds at one ball and two strikes. The next pitch to Cooks is a curve high, ball two, 2-2. Two balls, two strikes, nobody out and nobody on. The lock 2-2 pitch is high inside. It's a full count on Johnny Cooks. Three and two. Waiting for the payoff pitch. Here it is. He swings and foul tips it. Held on by Sammy White. It's a strikeout. The first one of the game for Ike Gillock. And with one away, it brings up Hank Bauer. Hank fouled out to Sammy White in the first inning, leading off the ball game. Gillock's first pitch to Bauer is a curve outside, ball one. Gillock's next pitch is low outside, ball two, 2-0.
Two balls, no strikes. The 2-0 pitch is hit on the ground, a short. Button on the short hop over to first. In time, they get Bauer. Beautiful play by Don Button. Actually, he let the ball play him that time. He started in, then backed up, caught the ball on the short hop, and really had to fire it as hard as he could. And Dick Gernon making a fine stretch over at first base. They retire Hank Bauer. Those are the kind of balls you commit with errors on when you back up on a ground ball. But Button, with his quick hands, caught the bad hop. Two away. Here's Norm Sebring, who homered deep into the screen in left field in the first inning for the only run of the ball game. Steven takes a curve over strike one. And now the flag in center field is starting to blow. There was no wind about 5 minutes ago. And suddenly the wind has kicked up. The one strike pitch is low inside, ball one, 1-1. Not exactly blowing out, sort of blowing across from right field to left field. The 1-1 delivery, slow curve high, ball two, 2-1. Two balls and one strike on Norm Sebring. Fastball is hit on the ground in the hole between first and second. Picked up by Gernon. Flipped to the lock covering in time to get Sebring. A nice play by Dick Gernon and Ike DeLock for the Yankees. In the top of the third, no runs, no hits, no Red Sox errors, no one left. And the score at the end of 2.5 innings of play, the Yankees 1 and the Red Sox nothing.
Now, there are times these spring days when your car just doesn't seem to have that touch-and-go response that adds so much to driving pleasure. If so, let me make this suggestion. Drive in at your Atlantic dealers and fill up with Atlantic Imperial gasoline. See if your car doesn't come alive with new pep the moment you step down on the accelerator. Atlantic Imperial sparks the top performance you have a right to expect from your car. Gives you long, long mileage, too. Try Atlantic Imperial soon. Get up and go with the best. That's Atlantic Imperial, the gasoline that's better to start with, better to stay with all the way. Checking our Atlantic scoreboard, Washington and Baltimore tied 1-1 at the end of an inning. Kansas City and Cleveland are scoreless at the end of two. And Cincinnati leads Philadelphia 5-2 at the end of 3 1/2 innings. Sammy White will lead off for the Red Sox in the bottom of the third. The Yankees leading 1-0. Norm Sebring homered in the first inning. And that's the way the ball game stands as we move to the bottom of the third. Here's Cook's pitch.
Johnny Cook pitching to Sammy White. The first pitch is low outside, ball one. Yankees lead 1-0 here in the bottom of the third. The next pitch is low inside, ball two, 2-0. Sammy White batting .381 on the year. Right-hand batter choking up on the bat. 2-0 pitch, high inside, ball three. 3-0. On deck, Don Button, Ike DeLock due to be the next batter.
Here's a 3-0 pitch. It's strike one called over the outside corner. Sammy White looks down at Dave Ferris coaching at first. See if they've got him hitting or taking. The 3-1 pitch is swung in line. The base hit to center field. Mickey Mantle up with the ball on two hops, and Sammy White tickled that 3-1 pitch, a solid single to center. That's hit number two off Johnny Cooks. That'll bring up Ike Gallach. And Dave Ferris walked over to the Red Sox dugout. Time is called. Sammy White wants to talk with him. Getting the sign straight. Now they've got them straightened out. Here's Ike Gallach. Gallach has not been up officially so far this year. Yankee infield looking for the bunt. Here's a stretch by Cook. Quick throw to first, but Sammy White's back there. Scarron trying that trick play that Whitey Ford worked so well down in Baltimore. Again, the stretch. The pitch is bunted, and a good bunt. Scarron up with it, starts the second, and throws to first. He had no chance to get Sammy White. The sacrifice worked perfectly. That play goes from 3-4, from the first baseman to the second baseman, advancing Sammy White to second. And it'll bring up Don Button, who bounced to short in the first inning. The Yankees lead 1-0. We're in the bottom of the third with one out. On deck, Pete Runnels. Sammy White leading off second. Pitch to Button is outside, ball one. One ball, no strikes on Don Button. Cook sets, checks Sammy White leading off. Curve is fouled accidentally to the right of the plate. Strike one, 1-1. Wind is whipping up a little bit now. The flag is almost straight out. 1-1 pitch is a curve that's in there. Strike two called. Big overhand curveball. One ball, two strikes. Red Sox fans trying to generate a little rally here with their applause. Sidearm curve is outside. 2-2 the count. Two balls, two strikes, one out. Sammy White down at second base. Yankees lead 1-0. Norm Sieben homing in the first inning. The only run of the game so far. Two pitches lined in the left center field, and that'll be off the wall for extra bases. Coming on his score, Sammy White going into second base with a stand-up double, Don Button. The ball game is all tied up at 1-1 as Don Button gets his first RBI of the year. A solid line drive off the left center field wall. That Mantle fielded on the first hop, but Button was running all the way from the plate and easily got into second with a stand-up double. So with one out, Button's down at second. Sammy White has scored. The ball game's tied up 1-1. Here's Pete Runnels, who bounced back to the box in the first inning. Pitch to Runnels, inside, ball one. So Button has reached first base at least once in every game played so far by the Red Sox. Pitch to Runnels is strike one call. Overhand curve catching the outside corner. One ball, one strike, one out. One run in, one man on. Score 1-1. Not of aces. Curve inside, ball two. 2-1. Elston Howard bluffs the throw down to second base. Tony Kubek is playing close to second. Holding Button there. Keeping him close. Throw to second. They got him picked off. And a throw back to Carey. Throw back to Kubek. Kubek breaking him. And tags him out. A nice pickle. Wait a minute. They don't have him yet. Yes, they do. He's called out for going out of the baseline. Kubek reached to tag him, missed him, but he's called out for going out of the baseline, and the Yankees had the pickoff play on. We were talking about Kubek keeping him close, and Kubek faked him perfectly. He came in, started back a couple of steps, then cut over to second, Cook wheeled around and picked him off. Let's see, 1-6-5-6. That is it. Okay, an assist for Cook, for Kubek, for Carey, and a put out for Kubek. A lot of K's in there. It sounds like a lot of K's. Ball three to Pete Runnels. Fastball high outside. Cooks and Carey and Kubek. So Carey starts with a C. It sounds like a K. Three and one on Pete Runnels. Two out now. Score tied 1-1. There's a drive to deep left, but curving foul back on the roof and out of play. Three and two on Pete. Gee, that was a pretty pickoff play. Perfectly timed, well executed by the Yankees. They've been working on plays like that all spring. The 3-2 pitch. Line foul in the teeth. Man, kid just stuck one hand up like he was plucking cherries there, and that ball was hit back there pretty hard. Three and two. Cook delivers the payoff pitch. Inside, ball four, he lost him. There's the first walk given up by Johnny Cook. And it'll bring up Gene Stevens. That's the first walk in the game. Galak has not walked a Yankee hitter so far. Two out. Pete Runnels is at first. The score is tied 1-1 here in the bottom of the third. Gene Stevens bounced to second base in the first inning. Change up is low, ball one. One ball, no strikes on the center fielder for the Red Sox. Quick throw to first with Runnels back. There's a line drive just foul down the right field line. Got real good wood on that one. Pulled it foul. 1-1 to count. Scarron holding first against Pete Runnels. Mantle deep in right center field. Really deep. stretch by Cook. The fastball is in there. Strike two call. One ball, two strikes, two out. Jackie Jensen on deck. Curve is hit deep to right field. That could be, and it's in there for a home run for Gene Stevens. A high curve ball that he really pulled. It's his first home run of the year with Pete Reynolds on. The Red Sox now lead 3-1. And that was really a solid line drive. He had pulled one foul just before that. And it really jumped into those right field seats close to the foul line. 3-1 in favor of the Red Sox is Jackie Jensen, who singled in the second inning. A high pop to the infield. Andy Carey coming in near the pitcher's mound. Makes the catch for out number three. So for the Red Sox in the bottom of the third, three runs on three hits. No Yankee errors and nobody left on base. And the score at the end of three full innings. The Red Sox 3, the Yankees 1.
Let's pause here for station identification and we'll pick up the Atlantic scoreboard. This is the Home of Champions Network.
WOKO, Albany, New York. WOKO time, 3 minutes before 3 o'clock. Troy Dewis brings you baseball wrap-up immediately following today's game.
At the end of three innings, Washington and Baltimore are tied 1-1. The Philly-Cincinnati ball game is in the fourth inning, and Cincinnati leads 6-2. Detroit and Chicago were postponed because of cold weather. The end of three, Cleveland 1, Kansas City nothing. Herb Skor is pitching in that one against Ray Herbert. Another postponement was the Milwaukee-Pittsburgh game, which was called off due to cold weather they're experiencing out in that part of the country. So there's somewhat of a limited scoreboard today, but with the two games out on the coast, Chicago playing Los Angeles and San Francisco and St. Louis playing later this afternoon. To move into the top of the fourth, the Red Sox now have moved out ahead in the ball game as Mickey Mantle steps to the plate with the Red Sox leading 3-1. Ike Deluxe sets the pitch. Mantle digs in at the plate. Okay, Phil, let's see what happens here with Mickey Mantle.
Against the lock, the right hander ready. Mantle swings and misses, strike one. One strike pitch to Mickey, a foul at the plate, strike two. Nothing in two on Mickey Mantle. The lock taking his time out on the mound, rubbing up the baseball. Now he's ready. The windup and the pitch is just outside. Ball one. One ball, two strikes. That pitch just missed the corner. Elston Howard on deck. The one ball, two strike pitch to Mickey. The curve is high. Ball two, two and two. With the count no balls, two strikes on Mantle, DeLock trying to work on Mickey, get him to swing at his pitch, but he just missed on two. Counts even at 2-2. Now DeLock's ready. The 2-2 pitch. Mickey swings and fouls it, going out of play. Over the roof. Back of home plate. Two balls, two strikes on Mantle. Mickey looking for home run number one on the air to get him started. The pitch, and it's fouled alongside the third, but curving back into the stands out of play, back of the Yankee dugout. Frank Crosetti is the third base coach. Ralph Hauck down at first. The lock ready again. Pitch is hit on the ground in the hole between first and second out to right field. Mickey singles, fakes moving to second, and Jensen fires the ball in. Mickey at first is Elston Howard, who fouled to the catcher. Elston Howard, representing the tying run of the ball game for the Yankees, Mantle leading off first. Pitch to Howard is hit on the ground at second base. Runnels goes to second for one. Back to first, not in time, as Budden had a really leap up in the air to get out of the way of Mantle, who was flying down there. Budden leaped high, couldn't get anything on the ball, which is an advantage of having Mantle running for the Yankees. And so it goes as a fourth play from the second baseman to the shortstop. Howard safe at first. Boy, if Mickey would have hit Budden that time, he'd have really turned him every way but loose. He would really slide into second base. One away, here's Bill Scarron. The Moose fly deep to center field in the first inning. Howard at first with one away. Red Sox lead 3-1. We're in the top of the fourth. First pitch to Scarron is high outside, ball one. Andy Carey on deck. Stretch, and the pitch is swung at and missed, strike one, 1-1. One ball, one strike on the Moose. Howard leading off first. The lock set. The curve is low. Ball 2-2-1. Two balls and one strike. Garin lines one in left center field. Geiger is moving over. He's there to make the catch. Geiger has shown us some pretty fine outfield playing in this series so far. Moves very well and very quick. He's got a lot of range out there. Go deep to left center, over to the far line, and come in on a ball. In this park, you don't have to go back in left field. So, of course, we don't know how he can go back, but evidently he can. He's a fine outfielder. Two ways. And here's Andy Carey, who bounced to third in the second inning. Berry swings in as a fly ball to left field. Geiger got the range on it and makes the catch close to the foul line for out number three. For the Yankees in the top of the fourth, no runs. One hit, no Red Sox errors, one man left. Score at the end of 3.5 innings of play. The Red Sox 3 and the Yankees 1.
It takes an expert to spot potential trouble in your car, and one of the best in the business is your Atlantic dealer. Now that the spring driving season is here, why not let him get your car in top shape with an Atlantic Safety Service lubrication? In addition to a thoroughgoing lubrication following the specifications set down by the manufacturer of your car, you get at no extra cost a complete checkup of the many safety areas that, if neglected, could cause you trouble. Tires, battery, windshield wipers, radiator, fan belt, the muffler, the tailpipe. And also, you get a written report covering the work done and showing you the condition of your car. Get a Safety Service lubrication today from your Atlantic dealer, the man who keeps your car on the go. We're on the go now into the bottom of the fourth inning. The Red Sox, coming up with 3 in the bottom of the third, have turned the ball game around in their favor. Norm Seaburn had homered in the first inning. And the Red Sox came back with back-to-back doubles, and then Gene Stevens lined a home run into the lower right field seats. So that's the way the ball game stands as we pick up the bottom of the fourth inning with Frank Malzone leading off of the Red Sox.
If you happen to be out driving in your car today in the vicinity of the Yankee Stadium, the advance ticket office is open and will be open every Sunday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Get tickets for all Yankee home games. Johnny Cook's ready. The curve to Malzona's low, ball one. Fastball is hit on the ground. Carey knocks it down, picks it up, fires to first in time to get Malzone, that good gun of Andy Carey's. The ball was hit hard, and Carey blocked it with his body. Fell out of his feet. He picked it up and fired it across the diamond, one away. You don't have to be out riding in your car to pick up tickets at Yankee Stadium. You can be out walking. Here's Dick Gernert, who flied out deep to right center field in the second inning. The fastball is inside, ball one. Gary Geiger on deck. Red Sox 3 and the Yankees 1. Third game of a four-game series. Each team has won one game. Ground ball in the hole. Carey cuts across, can't get it. Kubek up, the long throw. In time to get Dick Gernert. And Kubek made that play look real easy. Carey lunged in front of him, just couldn't get it. Kubek, gliding to his right, came up with it, and in one fluid motion, fired across to first to get Gernert. Here's Gary Geiger, who was called out on strikes in the second inning. Cook sends a fastball that's fouled back off the chest protector of plate umpire Frank Tabachi, strike one. His next pitch changeup is taken over, strike two, and Geiger started a bunt at that ball and had the perfect pitch to bunt. It was a changeup. Could have dropped it just about anywhere he wanted. He took it, but it was over for a strike. Nothing in two. Two-strike pitch. A little high, ball one, as Cook came in with that overhand pitch, and he had Geiger sort of frozen back with his bat again. If it had been in there, Geiger wouldn't have been able to swing. One ball, two strikes. Two out, no one on. Cook's curve is strike three, call. Geiger called out on strikes for the second time. For the Red Sox in the bottom of the fourth, no runs, no hits, no Yankee errors, no one left. Score at the end of four, the Red Sox 3, the Yankees 1, and here is Joe Ripley with the score.
Thank you, Phil. We'll see you a little later. In the American League, in the first of two games, at the end of three and a half, Washington-Baltimore tied 1-1. Pascual against Odell. Bertoia homered in the first for Washington. Detroit at Chicago postponed because of cold weather. Kansas City at Cleveland. At the end of four full innings, Cleveland 2, Kansas City nothing. Herbert against Score. In the National League, Pittsburgh at Milwaukee also postponed because of cold weather. At the end of four full innings, Cincinnati 6, Philadelphia 2. Owens relieved by Short in the second for Philadelphia, and O'Toole going to Cincinnati. Chicago at Los Angeles will start later on. St. Louis at San Francisco will also be a later start. At the end of four full innings here in Boston, on what has turned out to be quite a lovely New England spring day. And after the kind of winters that they have this part of the country, spring day can mean a great deal of pleasure for a lot of people. Score 3-1 in favor of Boston. First batter will be Tony Kubek. Grounded to second in the second inning. Now we welcome to our radio microphone that traveling man, Mel Allen.
Hello there, everybody. Your host, Valentine's. We go to the fifth inning. Tony Kubek gets the first pitch to deep left, and it is up against the wall. Tony turns first, heads for second. Gene Stevens makes the recovery, throws in, but too late. A crisp kind of refresher. Tony Kubek lines a double off the left center field wall. Geiger played it short, hoping he might leap for it. Stevens came over to take the rebound. Fine teamwork. Tony's first start of the year. Casey now is talking to Jim Turner. They signal the Yankee bullpen may have a pinch hitter for Cooks, depending on what Bobby Richardson does. And the signal goes to the Yankee bullpen. Bobby Shantz. DeLock steps off the rubber. Richardson flies to center in the second inning. Ground ball hits to short. And it's bobbled by Button, and Richardson is safe. Kubek holds second. An error charged to Button. Now Casey is going to have to make a move. Tom Sturtevant starts to warm up along with Bobby Shantz. And Yogi's at the bat rack. Barra coming up to hit for Cook. Bauer talking to Yogi. Yogi with a couple of bats, swinging them around over his head. Tosses one aside to the bat boy and steps in, hitting for Johnny Cooks. Frank Malzone is shortened up at third. Kubek on second and Richardson on first in the fifth inning. 3-1 Boston. Ike DeLock to the stretch. The pitch to Yogi. Swung on and fouled off on the ground to the right of the plate. Strike one. Now Chance sits down. And it's Sturdivant alone warming up. Ike Dulac getting a sign from White. Into the stretch, and then Yogi asks for time and steps out. Runners lead away from first and second. Dulac's pitch swung on him, missed. Strike two. Nothing in two. Lock all set. He pitched to Barra. High outside for a ball. Almost got away from White. One and two. One ball, two strikes. Barra heading for Cooks here in the fifth. Boston out front 3-1. Kubek off second, Richardson off first. Ike Dulac studies White sign. Into his stretch, runners widen their leads, and then Yogi asks for time and steps out again. Now he's back in. Runners had moved back to their bases. Now they're back off. Dulac to his stretch. I look around, and the pitch to Yogi. Swung on it, missed. Strike three. Yogi Berra heading for Johnny Cook. Strikes out. Got him on a high fastball. Here's Hank Bauer, foul of the catcher and grounded to short. Fine job of touch pitching by Dulac. The right-hander to his stretch. The pitch to Bauer. Gets away from White, and the runners advance the base each. Kubek to third and Richardson to second. The pass ball. And now, time has been called. White got hurt on that last pitch. Where the ball hit him. Mike Higgins comes out with the Red Sox trainer, Jack Fadden. Now Higgins is talking to White. I don't know, apparently, either the ball hit White on the meat hand or in bending over. I don't know what happened, to tell you the truth. He's standing up. Higgins and Fadden are talking to him. Jack Fadden and Mike Higgins leave. Dulac and White are talking. And we're ready to resume play. Red Sox leading 3-1 in the fifth inning. Runners on second and third, one out. One ball, no strikes to count on Bauer. DeLock to the windup and the pitch to Hank. Swung on. There's a liner to left, but Gary Geiger grabs it at the wall. Kubek tags up and comes on in to score. Richardson goes back to second, and it's 3-2. Hank hits the ball right on the noggin, but he hit it low. And Geiger, with his back at the wall, made the catch. Thus, it becomes a sacrifice credited to Hank Bauer. The Red Sox call for the ball. Malzone gets it, steps on third, but Ed Runge said no. Kubek did not leave too soon. Bauer lines to Geiger, is credited with the sacrifice fly as Kubek scores. 3-2, two outs, and Norm Seaburn up. He hit a line drive homer to the opposite field, meaning left field, in the first inning. Grounded out in the third to the first baseman, Dick Gernett. The pitch from DeLock, curve inside, ball one. Now the pitch. Slow curve over, strike one. One and one. Sturdivant will come in to pitch in the last of the fifth. DeLock's delivery. Swung on, a fly ball hit out into right field. Jackie Johnson getting under it, makes the catch, and the sides retire. One run, one hit, one error, and one left on. At the end of 4.5 innings of play, Boston 3, New York 2. Now a tune from Pert and Pretty, Jill Corey of Columbia Records.
To be crisp, a beer must be ice-only light. With true lager flavor, precise-only right. Lively golden, crystally clear, crisp, refreshing. Valentine, Valentine beer.
And hear this. Valentine beer is the crisp kind of light with true lager flavor. It's the largest selling beer in the East. Tom Sturdivant comes in to pitch for New York. Johnny Cooks, in his four innings, allowed four hits and three runs. Struck out two and walked one. That one walk helped the Red Sox cause. After Seaburn had homered in the first inning, the Red Sox came back in the third on a White single, a sacrifice, moved into second. Budden doubled him home. Budden was picked off. Then Runnels walked and Stevens homered. And the Yankees picked up a run in the first of the fifth. A Kubek's double, an error by Button. Pass ball and a sacrifice fly. So Johnny Cooks is in the unenviable position of being charged with the defeat, but cannot possibly be credited with a win. You must now, in a nine-inning game, pitch a full five innings before you can be considered for the victory. And at that, your team must be ahead at the conclusion of those five innings. The only way Cooks could avoid being charged with a loss would be if the Yankees tied the game up at any point. Sammy White up, last of the fifth. Tom Sturdivant, end of the windup, around comes the right arm. The pitch is in there for a strike.
One strike delivery. Low outside into the dirt. Ball one. One and one. A ball and a strike. And the pitch. Outside, ball two. Now the 2-1 delivery on its way. Ball three, a little bit high. 3-1. Sturdivant's next pitch. Over, strike two, full count. Three balls, two strikes. The payoff pitch swung on to a high pop, which Bobby Richardson calls for behind second base. He has it, one down. Ike DeLock will appear in the dugout shortly. He will be followed by Don Button. Here comes Ike. DeLock bunted in the third inning and sacrificed White the second. Right-hand batter. In comes the pitch, swung on late, foul tip, strike one. Ball rebounded off the chest protector of the plate umpire, Frank Sabatchi. Patriots Day here tomorrow. One game, sometimes, most frequently through the years, they play a doubleheader. Pitch is high outside for a ball. Usually a morning game and an afternoon game. With the 26-mile-plus marathon run sandwiched in between. The 1-1 pitch is inside. Ball two, 2-1. Two balls, one strike. The 2-1 delivery. Swung on, hit foul into the stands, back to third. Quite a scramble. Two balls, two strikes. Now the 2-2 pitch to DeLock. Right over, called strike three. 2 men away. And Don Button comes up, grounded to short and doubled. Fans are booing him for having made the error and having been picked off second, and others, of course, properly applauding him. Kid's done a good job for the Red Sox. Here's the pitch. It's in there for a strike. I think you get more out of a man with a pat on the back than you do with another pat on the back that's lower down. Here's the pitch. Low outside for a ball.
A 1-1 count on Don Button. And the pitch. Swung on to high pop to short. Tony Kubek under it. Waiting and takes it. Button pops up. Kubek, the sides retired. No runs, no hits, no errors, no one left on. At the end of five innings of play, the Red Sox, 3 runs, 4 hits, no errors, 1 left on. Make that 1 error with the Red Sox. The Yankees, 2 runs, 4 hits, no errors, and 3 men left on. In the American League, on the Ballantyne scoreboard, first game of a doubleheader, Washington at Baltimore, 1-1 at the end of 5 innings, Pasquale and Odell. Detroit, Chicago postponed cold weather. The Cleveland Indians victorious in 6 consecutive games. Trying to make it 7 in a row with Herb Score pitching against Ray Herbert, and Cleveland leading 2-0 at the end of 5 innings. In the National League, Pittsburgh at Milwaukee postponed cold weather. Cincinnati 6, Philadelphia 4 at the end of 5 innings at Cincinnati. Mabe relieved O'Toole in the 5th for Cincinnati. Short relieved Owens in the 2nd for Philadelphia. Chicago to Los Angeles, St. Louis to San Francisco, later reports, later starting time. And speaking of time, it's time to pause for station identification.
This is WOKO, 1460 on the dial, Albany, New York. WOKO time, 3:31. Lloyd York brings you baseball wrap-up immediately after the game.
Very grateful for Red Barber having come up to sit in for me yesterday. We had the great privilege of making the principal talk at the Silver Anniversary Dinner honoring great basketball coach Taps Gallagher of Niagara University, one of the most university-like men in the sports world. Mickey Mantle leading off in the 6th inning. A pitch inside, ball one. Mickey's had 2 singles. First time I'd ever seen Niagara Falls, actually. I've driven by them and flown over them, but never got up close to them. The pitch, Mick, is swung on and fouled back out of play. Father Vincent Swords, who is president of Niagara University, and the moderator of athletics, Father Cahill, and Don Alfano, their public relations representative, drove me by. It's an awesome thing, of course. They're building even new power projects up there. They're making it easier for Lake Erie and Lake Ontario to shake hands. The next pitch is up high. Ball 2-1. Ike DeLock didn't like the call on that one. Neither did White. DeFacci is trying to walk away from White, and White is walking right with him, facing him, and now DeLock, who's walking off the mound in toward the plate, walks back. 2 balls, 1 strike. Red Sox 3, Yankees 2, 6th inning. Here's the pitch. Swung on and fouled back. Strike 2-2. Elston Howard on deck and Bill Scourin to follow. 2 balls, 2 strikes. DeLock into the windup. In comes the pitch, and Mantle swings and fouls it off his left leg. Count remains 2-2. Thank you.
Again, the pitch. Mantle checks high and inside, ball three. Full count. Trying to let up the curve. Three balls, two strikes. Here's the payoff pitch. Outside for ball four. Mantle walks. Now coming up is Elston Howard, who fouled to the catcher and grounded to second, forcing Mantle in the fourth inning. The Red Sox leading 3-2 in the sixth inning. DeLock to the stretch. And the pitch. Low outside, ball one. By the right-hander, the delivery. Right over, strike one, one and one. One ball, one strike. DeLock ready. There goes Mickey. The pitch is swung on. There's a ground ball to Malzone, who flips on to first in time. Howard grounds out. Malzone to Gurnett. With Mickey running, no chance to head off the front man. Now Bill Scourin steps in. Flied to center and left center. Locked into his stretch. The pitch to Scourin swung on and fouled off out of play to the right of the plate. Strike one. DeLock to the rosin bag. DeLock is primarily a breaking stuff pitcher. Doesn't throw too many fastballs. Now he's ready. Delivers, and the pitch is low outside for a ball. One and one. One out. Mantle leading off second. 3-2 Red Sox, sixth inning. One and one the count on Scourin. Here's DeLock's pitch. Swung on, fouled off, out of play. Back to first. A 1-2 count. One ball, two strikes. DeLock sets. Checks Mantle. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed. Strike three. A let up curve gets Scourin. Two outs now. And here's Andy Carey. Grounded to third and flied to left. DeLock ready to pitch, Sandy. Here it is. Inside, ball one. Next pitch. Inside, ball two. 2-0. Threw Andy a couple of sinkers. Used to call them drops. 2-0 delivery now from DeLock. Over, strike one, 2-1. Two balls, one strike. Ike DeLock to the stretch. Mantle leads off second. The 2-1 pitch to Carey. Swung on. There's a base hit through the middle. Out over second into center. Mantle turns third. Comes on in to score. It's a tie ball game. 3-3. Andy Carey rips a single to center. Driving in his fifth run of the season. Tony Kubek, who grounded to second in the second inning, doubled in the fifth off the left center field wall. Yankees 3, Red Sox 3. DeLock into his stretch. The pitch to Kubek. It's in there. Strike one. Nothing in one the count. And the pitch. Swung on. Foul back. Strike two. Nothing in two. Curved him in on the handle. A two-strike count on Tony. DeLock looking over the Yankee dugout. Casey's going through some gestures as if he's talking to the base runner, Carey. Now we're ready. And the pitch is swung on. The ground ball hit the button. He outruns Carey to the bag for the unassisted force out. And the side's retired. One run, one hit. No errors, one left on. At the end of 5.5 innings, the Yankees 3, the Red Sox 3. Seeing Niagara Falls, of course, a lot of folks have seen them, even if they haven't been there on a honeymoon, you know. You have to arrive there at the right time anyway, because on the Canadian side, the mist that comes up almost obliterates the falls. And that's something you should never have missed. Just as you should never have missed trying Ballantine beer. You know, some daffy situations come up in sports. Good hunting country around up in there, you know, Canadian border and all. Up around Michigan, after Michigan hunter failed to hit the first six birds, his dog pointed to the, you know, the birds, and hunter missed them. The dog got disgusted, went loping off, and returned with a live grouse in its mouth. fellow in England was refused membership to a golf club, so rather than fight the powers that be, he bought the place outright. You're good to do it. On the lighter side of beer, try the crisper pressure. Ballantine beer. Truly light and gives you all the honest-to-goodness lager beer flavor you want. Largest-selling beer in the East. Ballantine. Pete Reynolds leads off from the last of the six, takes outside for a ball. Tom Sturdivant's delivery. Swung on, hit foul, back to third out play. Ronald Stevens and Jensen, the numbers 2, 3, and 4 hitters in the order. Last of the sixth, 3-3. Reynolds hit to the box and walked. Tom Sturdivant came on to pitch in the fifth inning. Cooks worked the first four. Tom flips. It's a knuckleball outside. The count is 2-1. The 2-1 delivery, high ball 3, 3-1. Three balls, one strike. And the 3-1 pitch, outside and high ball 4. Ronald gets a walk. Now here's Gene Stevens, who grounded to second, hit a two-run homer in the third inning following a walk to Reynolds. We're getting some action in the Red Sox bullpen. They pitch to Stevens, inside, ball 1. Cornelius is warming up along with Murray Wall. The pitch goes the runner, swung on, lined into center. Mantle backs up and takes it. Reynolds slamming on the brakes, turns and goes back to first. Gene Stevens lines to deep center. Here's Jackie Johnson, who singled and popped to third. Not Murray Wall, it's Mofford, number 35, warming up. Sturdivant checks the runner. There he goes. The pitch is swung on, hit to Scarron, who steps on first to retire Jackie. With Reynolds advancing to second. With a hit-and-run play on, Johnson bounces out to Bill Scarron, who had only the one play. Here's Frank Malzone now, grounded to short and third. Two down, and the potential tie-breaking run in scoring position. Same situation as existed in the first half of this inning, a walk. A runner advancing to second, and with two outs, the third baseman up. The pitch. Low outside for a ball. Andy Carey delivered a single to drive the run home, and now Malzone has that same opportunity. 3-3 the score, sixth inning. The Yankees run, by the way, in the sixth, took Johnny Cooks off the hook as possible losing pitcher. Here's the delivery. Low outside, ball 2. Two balls, no strikes on Frank Malzone. Sturdivant. ready. And the pitch. Outside, ball three, 3-0. Nothing pitch. It's in there. Strike one. 3-1. Reynolds leads off second base. Sturdivant shakes off a sign. Okay is the next one. Into the stretch. And the pitch. Swung on, fouled off, out of play to the right of the plate. Strike two. Full count. 3-2 on Malzone. Payoff pitch. Reynolds leads off second base. Here it is. Swung on it. Foul back. Count remains 3-2. Count on Milezone. Ready for the payoff pitch once more. Here it is. Swung on and fouled off again to the right of the plate. Into the stand. Three balls, two strikes. 3-3 the score. Last of the sixth. Pete Reynolds on second base. Sturdivant ready. He delivers, swung on, foul back again up onto the screen. Count remains 3-2. Now Jones hanging in there. Really guarding that plate. Casey gestures to Sturdivant. Come sidearm and just. I wish he could take pictures of Casey throughout a game. Full count now. Reynolds leads off second, and the pitch is low outside. Curved him. Ball four. And Dick Gernot is the batter. Flied to right and grounded to short. Baseball is a tremendous game because there are situations that are constantly developing in it. Reynolds leads off second. Malzone off first. Sturdivant to the stretch. The pitch to Gernot. Over for a strike. Nothing in one. Reynolds on second. Malzone on first. The next pitch. Swung on and missed. Throw down to first, and they've got Malzone trapped off. beautiful throw by Elston Howard to Scarron, and Malzone is picked off by 15 feet. And that retires the side. No runs, no hits, no errors, and one left on. And the score at the end of six innings of play, the Yankees 3, the Red Sox 3. The Yankees, 3 runs, 5 hits, no errors, and 4 left on. The Red Sox, 3 runs, 4 hits, 1 error, and 2 men left on. Washington got 3 runs in the 6th inning as we looked at the Ballantyne scoreboard. By the way, a while ago, and I was talking about some of the lighter sides of sports. This is true. A convicted pickpocket is arrested for not wearing boxing gloves to a major league ballpark. That violated a judge's previous order. But protested the nimble-fingered friends with boxing gloves on, can't eat popcorn. 23 skidoo. That actually happened. Speaking of popcorn, goes so good with Ballantyne beer. Washington 4, Baltimore 1. At the end of 5.5 innings, first game of the doubleheader. Pasquale against Odell with Wilhelm in the 6th and Ernie Johnson in the 7th. Victoria homered in the 1st. Detroit-Chicago, cold weather postponed the game. Cleveland leads Kansas City 2-0 to end at 7 innings. Herb score against Ray Herbert, and the Indians are on their way to a 7th consecutive win. They're off to a hot start and will be at Yankee Stadium Tuesday night, May 12th, and Wednesday afternoon, May 13th. National League, Pittsburgh-Milwaukee, postponed cold weather. Cincinnati, 10, Philadelphia, 4, end of 6 innings. Made for O'Toole in the 5th, for Philadelphia, Owens, Short in the 2nd, Farrell in the 6th. Chicago, Los Angeles, St. Louis, San Francisco, later starts. Bobby Richardson takes the ball as we go to the 7th inning. Flied to center and was safe on an error by Don Button. Next pitch is outside for a ball. 2 balls, no strike. Bobby takes it outside from Ike DeLock for ball 3. I believe that's Mofer, isn't it? Warming up. Herb Mofer warming up for the Red Sox. DeLock aims his 3-0 pitch, and it's in there for a strike, 3-1. The Red Sox right-hander to the windup. In comes the 3-1 pitch. Swung on, say high fly ball into medium right center, which Jensen corrals, and there's one away. Tom Sturdivant coming up. Bats left-handed. DeLock delivers, and Sturdy takes a strike. Nothing in one. 3-3, 7th inning. Now the pitch. Swung on, a little tap to the mound. DeLock takes it, tosses on to Gurnett, and Sturdivant's out. Two up, two down, and here's Hank Bauer. Foul to the catcher, grounded short, lined out to left. Scored as a sacrifice fly, since it enabled Kubek to score from third base. 3-3 in the seventh inning. The pitch to Hank is inside, ball one. The 1-0 pitch to Bauer. Outside, ball two. Herb Score blanked Kansas City in the eighth inning, and so Cleveland still leads 2-0 as they bat in the last of the eighth. Ex-Yankees Joe Gordon managing the Indians has got them flying high. Two nothing count on Bauer. DeLock delivers, and Hank takes outside for ball three. 3-0. Hank's had his look to see whether he can swing if he wants to. 3-0 pitch. Way outside for ball four. Hank was not having any. Nolan Seaborn homered in the first inning, grounded to first and flied to right. Two outs. Pitch to Seaborn is low inside, ball one. DeLock's pitch. High, ball two, 2-0. DeLock is pitching what I call a rather studied game. Measuring every pitch. Have to here. And the delivery. It's over the inside corner for a strike, 2-1. Two balls, one strike. The pitch. Swung on, hit to Gernert at first. He's up with it. Steps on first. Stevens retired, and so are the Yankees in the seventh inning. No runs, no hits, no errors, and one left on. End of 6.5 innings. Yankees 3, Red Sox 3. Now we're going to serve up a musical treat with a marimba beat.
Icily light,
with true lager flavor, keeps icily bright.
Sweet icily light,
lively golden, crystally clear. The crisp refresher,
the crisp refresher,
Valentine, Valentine beer. Hey, get your tall beer.
Hey, get your Valentine.
Valentine beer is the crisp kind of light with true lager flavor. No wonder it's the largest selling beer in the East. In the last half of the seventh inning, Dick Gernert up, Gary Geiger on deck, and Sammy White to follow. You know, the Yankees have picked off about four or five men in the last week. seldom see so many pickoff plays in that short of time. The pitch swung on with a hard shot through short in the center for a base hit. Mantle up for the ball, tosses back in to Kubek. And Dick Gernert hits the first pitch between Kubek and second base on the ground in the center. That's the fifth Red Sox hit. Nobody out, and here's Gary Geiger, who twice looked at third strike, batting against Johnny Cooks. First time he's faced Tom Sturtevant. Red Sox bullpen's busy. The pitch is bunted foul to the left of the plate, strike one. Nothing in one, the count on Gary Geiger. Gernert has his lead. Sturtevant delivers. Geiger bumps the ball nicely. Andy Carey plays it to first base. And racing over now is Kubek to cover third. He's down at second to take a throw, should one be forthcoming. Then broke out for third base, or lit out for third, with Carey having to come in and play the ball to first, and nobody covering third. Sacrifice for Gary Geiger, who is out. Carey to Scourin. Gernert moves to second. Here's Sammy White, who singled to center and pops to second. Wall and Mofford warming up. Tom Sturtevant's pitch. Outside, ball one. Sturtevant checks his runner, leading off second. Dick Gernert pitches. Sammy White takes it into the dirt, gets away from Howard. Over to third goes Gernert. Threw a knuckleball down to the dirt. Now the Red Sox have the lead run on third base with one out. And that forces the infield in on the right side. Richardson and Scourin for a play at the plate. Kubek playing it halfway at short. Andy at third is in close. Two balls, no strikes on White. Tom to the stretch. Here's the pitch. Swung on. There's a drive to deep right center. Bauer racing hard. Makes the catch. Gernert tags up and comes home easily and scores. Boston leads 4-3. Sacrifice fly for Sammy White. And it is 4-3 in favor of Boston. Now, Ike DeLock is scheduled to come up. Here he is. Red Sox 4, New York 3. DeLock bats right-handed. Sturtevant to the windup, and the pitch is in there. Strike one. In comes the pitch for strike two. Nothing in two. Strike pitch. Swung on and missed. Strike three. Sides retired. One run, one hit. No errors and no one left on. At the end of seven innings of play, the Red Sox, four runs, five hits, one error, two left on. The Yankees, three runs, five hits, no errors, and five men left on. Philby coming on over. Finish up the game with you. And we swap about. Some people wrote in, have written in, wondering about what we mean about the switching, because in the Upstate Network, we don't televise this radio. We televise almost every Yankee game, all home games, most of the road games, which does not go to all portions of the so-called Home of Champions Network. And so we swap about when we do both radio and television. The bill will be over in a minute. In the meantime, here's Joe Ripley. KML on the Valentine's scoreboard in the American League. In the first of two, Washington at Baltimore at the end of 6.5 innings. Washington 4, Baltimore 1. Pasquale relieved by Hyde in the seventh. Odell started, Wilhelm in the sixth, and Ernie Johnson in the seventh. Detroit at Chicago postponed because of cold weather. Kansas City at Cleveland. At the end of eight full innings, it was Cleveland 2, Kansas City nothing, but Tuttle has homered in the ninth inning for Kansas City. Kansas City still at bat. Herbert and score. In the National League, Pittsburgh at Milwaukee, postponed because of the cold weather. Philadelphia, Cincinnati at the end of seven full innings. Cincinnati 12, Philadelphia 5. Owens relieved by Short and Farrell. O'Toole relieved by May. Robinson homered in the seventh with one on. Chicago at Los Angeles and St. Louis at San Francisco. We'll get started later on. Go on the top of the eighth inning here in Boston. Mickey Mantle up, and Phil Rizzuto is sitting down.
Okay, Joe. Mickey is 2-for-2. Single to center, single to right, and walk. The Red Sox lead 4-3 in a real exciting ball game up here at Fenway Park. Ike DeLock. Double pumps. The pitch to Mickey is fouled back, strike one. Now let's pause for station identification.
WOKO, 1460 on the dial, Albany, New York. WOKO time, 12 minutes after 4. Troy Zuerk brings you baseball wrap-up immediately following the game.
One strike on Mantle. Red Sox have Leo Carli and Murray Walsh still warming up in the bullpen. The lock tired a little last inning. Mickey takes a curve just outside, 1-1 to count. Outfield deep and around towards right on Mickey. Gary Geiger playing practically over in left center field. Here's the 1-1 pitch. Mickey swings, fouls it back, out of play. One ball, two strikes. Elston Howard on deck. The lock with a new baseball. Taking a little more time now between pitches, he realizes that any mistake right now could tie the old ball game up. Mickey swings a ground ball. Gurnett off his glove. And Mickey safe at first. Dick Gurnett, who's played a fine game, comes up with an error. It was a hard hit ball, just a little bit to his right. Gurnett had his glove on the ball that just squirted out. And I'll tell you what's tough about balls hit by fellas like Mickey Mantle and Ted Williams. They hit the ball with overspin. They hit the ball on the upswing. And when that ball hits in your glove, I know for a fact, because I've had a couple squirt out of my glove playing against Williams, the ball hits and is spinning continuously. And if you don't grip it real tight, it'll squirt right out. So Mantle's on first with an error. Mickey scored the tying run when the Yankees were trailing 3-2 in the sixth. He's on now as the leadoff hitter, and here's Elston Howard, who was popped to the catcher, hit into a fourth play, and bounced out. Mickey has been on first three times with Howard at bat. The pitch to Elston is high, ball one. Ellie has to hit the dirt. That's the second error of the ball game for the Red Sox. The first one was costly. It cost them a run. Quick
Quick throw to first, Mickey, back just ahead of the tag. Mickey looks like he's anxious to steal. Here's a stretch. Quick throw to first. And man, with a good throw, they'd have had Mantle that time. Mickey was leaning to second. DeLock whirled and fired quickly, but it was in the dirt, and Gernot made a nice job knocking the ball down. They had Mickey that time. But the throw was low and couldn't be held by Gernot. He's back safely. No error on the play. One ball on Ilston Howard. Nobody out here in the top of the eighth. Red Sox lead 4-3. Howard, a ground ball at second. Could be a... Oh, it bounces over. Ronald's had a base hit. A perfect double play ball. Took a wicked hop over Pete Ronald's head for a base hit. I mean, you wouldn't want a better ball hit at you for a double play to get you out of the inning. And it hit something just in front of Ronald's and bounced about 6 feet over his head. And look at poor Pete, Ike DeLock, and Don Button and the Red Sox fans. I can just hear them now, those lucky Yankees. They are lucky. They're good to go along with it. You've got to have a little bit of luck. And that was it right there. Hit number six off Ike DeLock, a real heartbreaker for the Red Sox and a great break for the Yankees. And here's Bill Scowen with runners at first and third. The tying run over at third. No one out. Sammy White is out on the mound talking with DeLock. That's something you might see happen two or three times a year, a bad hop like that. And a fielder feels so bad about it because there's nothing he can do. He feels so helpless out there. All right, runners at first and third, nobody out. Pacetti telling Mantle to go in on a ground ball hit to keep out of the double play. The pitch to Scarron is popped in the air. There's a break for the Red Sox. Button is back in short left. He makes the catch. Mantle has to hold at third and Howard at first. And Scarron threw that bat away. He was really mad. Scarron pops to shortstop Don Button in short left field for out number one. One away, and the batter is Andy Carey, who singled, who drive in the tying run in the sixth inning with two outs. Carey also bounced a third fly to left. And now there is a big, big break for the Red Sox, because now they have a chance to get a DP and get out of the inning. Mantle's at third. Howard is at first. There's one away here in the top of the eighth. The Red Sox lead 4-3. The infield's playing back in double play depth. Mantle is at third. Howard at first. The stretch. The pitch is high, ball one. Andy has a big hole to shoot at between first and second. Ronald's playing close to second. Gernot holding the bag against Elston Howard. Sort of a push punt in that direction would get the run in easily and maybe a base hit. A fly ball to short center. This could be trouble. Stevens got it. Here's Mantle coming and he's held up. And what a throw Stevens makes. That hand that Gene Stevens got on that play. Carey sent a low liner to short center field. Mantle tagged up. Stevens made the catch. Mickey started in, but when he saw Stevens uncork a beautiful throw all the way in on a fly to Sammy White, he wisely held up. He'd have been a dead duck. Mantle is back at third. Howard is at first with two out now, and the batter Tony Kubek. These Red Sox are battling the Yankees tooth and nail right down the wire. Ike DeLock, who has had two tough breaks against him in this ball game, one which has cost him. This one, the inning is not over yet, but he's trying desperately to pitch his way out of a tough jam. As Tony Kubek to get out, Kubek has bounced a second, double to left, and hit into a force play. Two away here in the top of the eighth. The Red Sox lead 4-3. The lock sits. The pitch to Kubek is popped in the air to right center. Stevens going back. He's got room. He's under it. Makes the catch for out number three. A standing ovation along with Ike Gallant on a sensational job of defense and pitching by the Boston Red Sox to get out of a tough jam and for the Yankees in the top of the eighth. No runs on one hit, one error, two men left on base to score at the end of 7.5 innings of play. The Red Sox 4 and the Yankees 3. Oh man, you talk about excitement here. This is really a good ball game. And say, if you're a fellow who enjoys a good glass of beer, you'll be interested in this. Ballantine is the largest selling beer in the East. And, mister, that's important. Because when you feel like a cool, refreshing glass of beer, you want nothing but the best, right? And if one beer stands out head and shoulders above 250 others the way Ballantine does, well, you know that beer must be top. And Ballantine is. Hops in taste, hops in refreshment. Now, let me put it this way. Ballantine beer is the crisp kind of light, the kind with true lager flavor. So, if you're a fellow who enjoys lightness and flavor, the two things that really count in beer, latch on to Ballantine beer, the crisp refresher. Remember, Ballantine is the largest selling beer in the East. Yes, sir, that inning shook me up a little bit. I saw some fine stout pitching by Ike Gallant and some fine defensive play by Gene Stevens in center field. Imagine having a runner at first and third and having to face Starr and Carey and Kubek with nobody out and keeping the Yankees from scoring. Well, DeLock did it. Here's Don Budden, who bounced to short, popped to short, and doubled. The knuckleball is high, ball one. Tom Sturdivant on the mound for the Yankees. The Red Sox lead 4-3 here in the bottom of the eighth. Sturdivant's next pitch is high inside, ball two, 2-0. The Yankees will have to go to their pinch hitters next inning. They'll have Richardson, Sturdivant, and Bauer. The 2-0 pitch is over, strike one call. The Yankees have no one warming up in the bullpen. But they will very shortly. There's a foul back out of play. 2-2 the count. Two balls, two strikes. Sturdivant's next pitch is a curve foul. Bounced out of the glove of Elston Howard. 2-2 the count. Pete Reynolds is on deck. The 2-2 pitch is hit in the air to straightaway center field. Mantle going back, turns under it, makes the catch in straightaway center field in just about the deepest part out there. Had he pulled that ball a little bit, would have been long gone. One away. Here's Pete Runnels, who hit back to the box and walked twice. Runnels has scored one run. Runnels has really been a thorn in the Yankees' side in this series so far. Ball one. Tom Sturdivant into the windup. The pitch is a curve in there. Strike one, 1-1. One pitch, knuckleball is fouled down the left field line out of play. One ball, two strikes. Here's the pitch. Knuckleball is low. Ball two, two and two. Bobby Shands is loosening up now for the Yankees. Curve inside. Full count on Pete Reynolds. Three balls, two strikes and one out. There's no one on here in the bottom of the eighth. The Red Sox lead the Yankees 4-3. Ball is hit on the ground at second base. Richardson is up with it. Over to Scarron, and it's two-way. Two out, and here's Gene Stevens, and he'll get a round of applause. Not only for his fine defensive play all season, and especially in this game, but for his offensive work, too. He homered in the third inning with a man on, driving in two runs. Big factor in the Red Sox leading the Yankees 4-3 here. Left-hand batter, 6'3", 185 pounds. Takes a knuckleball outside, ball one. Two out, nobody on. Pitch is in there, strike one called, 1-1. One pitch is a knuckle low. Ball two, two and one. Two balls, one strike. There's a ball fouled back. Strike two, two and two. Two balls, two strikes, two outs. Sturdivant into the windup. He swings and misses strike three. For the Red Sox in the bottom of the eighth, no runs. No hits, no Yankee errors, no one left. They score at the end of eight full innings. The Red Sox 4 and the Yankees 3. Let's take a last look, maybe, at the scoreboard, provided the Yankees don't tie it up. In the American League, Washington 4, Baltimore 1 at the end of 6.5, first of 2. Hyde against Johnson now in that ballgame. Betroya homered in the first inning. Detroit at Chicago, postponed cold weather. And here is really an exciting ball game. At playing the bottom of the ninth inning at Cleveland. Cleveland was leading 2-0 in the top of the ninth. Kansas City came up with four runs. Tuttle homered in the ninth. Herb score against Ray Herbert. Now in the bottom of the ninth, Woody Held has homered, his fifth of the year. It's a 4-3 ball game. That ball game is not over as yet. As you know, Cleveland has yet to be defeated this year. In the National League, Pittsburgh at Milwaukee postponed cold weather. Cincinnati leads Philadelphia 12-5 at the end of 8. Meyer against Mabe now. Robinson Holman in the 7th, one on. Chicago at Los Angeles, Scott later on. And St. Louis at San Francisco. Jackson against Antonelli. Well, this is it. The top of the ninth. Enos Slaughter is coming on to bat for Bobby Richardson. Country Slaughter batting for Bobby Richardson in the top of the ninth. The Red Sox lead 4-3. Ike Galacco has gone all the way for Boston. Well, the Red Sox have Leo Kiley and Murray Wall still loosening up in the Red Sox bullpen. Here's the first pitch to Slaughter. Strike one, a fastball on the outside corner. drive to deep right field, way back. And it's a home run for Enos Slaughter. Country Slaughter pinch hitting in the top of the ninth inning hits a home run deep into the Red Sox bullpen. Everybody is shocked. Jensen is still leaning against the bullpen. All the Red Sox players have their hands on their hips. I tell you, that Country Slaughter is an amazing man. He's even got Jim Turner smiling, and when you can do that, that is really something. The ball game's tied up 4-4. The lock is looking out to the right field. He just can't believe it. He just can't believe it. And while the Red Sox are in a state of shock, we'll pause for station identification.
WOKO, Albany, New York. Stay tuned for Sports Roundup, presented by Troy Buick, immediately following the game. WOKO time, 4:31.
We're going to have another pinch hitter for Tom Sturdivant. Cletus Boyer is coming up to bat for Sturdivant. Takes the pitch in there, strike one call. There's a foul back. Boom, right in the press box. Did it hit anybody? No. Strike two. Two strikes on Cletus Boyer. The ball game tied up with that pinch hit home run of Enos Slaughter. The curve is just outside ball one. The lock goes into the windup. The pitch is hit right at Gernot at first base for out number one. One away. That'll bring up Hank Bauer. Hank popped to the catcher, bounced to short, hit a sacrifice slider left to drive, and a run and walk. The lock working slowly. Pitches to Bauer, a curve high, ball one. The fastball is low, ball two, two and nothing. Final score there. Kansas City defeated Cleveland 4-3. There's a base hit through the middle out to center field. Bauer singles to center. The lock stuck his foot out, tried to deflect it, but it got by him. So Hank's on with his first base hit of the game, and it's hit number 8 for the Yankees in the ballgame. And Dave Ferris is coming out to the mound. And that could be all for Ike DeLock, who has pitched a real good game for the Boston Red Sox. Sammy White and Dave Ferris are out to the mound with Ike DeLock. Norm Seaborn is due to be the next batter. And then he'll be followed by Mickey Mantle, Elston Howard, and Bill Scarron. And that's all for Ike DeLock. Charlie, a left-hander, is being called in to pitch to Norm Sebring. So Ike DeLock is out of there after pitching 8 1/3 innings. He allowed 8 hits, walked only 2, struck out 3, and has allowed 4 runs so far. Now, the runner at first, Hank Bauer, is DeLock's responsibility. Should he score, DeLock could possibly be the losing pitcher. But as it stands now, DeLock cannot be the winning pitcher. Leo Carley, the left-hander, born in Hoboken, New Jersey. Last year, 1-5 and lost 2 for the Red Sox. Carley is 6'2 and 185 pounds. Casey Stengel and Frank Rossetti both talking with Norm Sebring. The old professor now walking over to Crosetti in the third base coaching box, talking with the Crow. Now Casey's walking back in the Yankee dugout. Ferris talking with Leo Carley out on the mound. It's been quite a ball game. The Yankees scored in the first inning on a homer by Norm Sebring. And the Red Sox came back with 3 in the third inning, featured by a 2-run homer by Gene Stevens. The Yankees scored 1 in the 5th and 1 in the 6th. And the Red Sox came back with 1 in the 7th to go ahead 4-3. And here in the top of the 9th, Enid Slaughter pinch hits a home run into the Red Sox bullpen. A drive about 400 feet. And after Cletus Boyer pinch hitting for Sturdivant, line to first base, Bauer singles. DeLock was taken out, and Leo Carley is put in the ball game. Murray Wall is still throwing out in the Red Sox bullpen. We were talking to Frank Sullivan, the big right-hand pitcher for the Red Sox. He was laid up with a virus, but one of the real bad cases. Had a fever for about 6 days and just been out of the hospital. He had a little touch of pneumonia along with it. And Frank will have to get in shape all over again. It'll be spring training for him once again. All right, we're ready to go now. Carley completes his warm-up tosses. Norm Sebring steps into the batter's box. Bauer is at first with one away. The score is tied 4-4 here in the top of the ninth. Val Zona is in at third. Gurnett holding Bauer at first, ready to charging. Here's the stretch. The pitch is strike 1, sidearm curveball. Sebring taps home plate. Here's the stretch. The pitch is bunted foul back onto the screen in back of home plate. Two strikes on Norm Sebring. And now we have two right-handers warming up for the Yankees, Ryan Duren and Murray Dixon. Bobby Shands has sat down. Two strikes on Norm Sebring. Bauer, short lead off first. Carley stretches. The pitch to Sebring is foul tipped and couldn't be held by Sammy White. A life for Norm. Nothing in 2 to count on Sebring. Mickey Mantle on deck. Carley stretches. Checks Bauer off first. The pitch is fouled at the plate. Five-arm curveball, and Sebring just did get a piece of it. Nothing in two to count. Holly goes for the rosin bag. Got his work cut out for him. There's the stretch. Another foul back of home plate. Another new baseball for Carly. Nobody's leaving this ball game early. Lots of excitement. Holly ready. Pitch is low, ball one. One ball, two strikes. Way back in the box. Carly delivers a curve hit deep to right, but going foul way, way back there. Off the top of the roof and bounding down in the box seat. Stephen got around on that one. Hit it plenty far enough, but not quite the right direction. Making Carly pitch. Carly trying to make Stephen hit his pitch. Stretches. Looks at Bauer. The pitch is strike three. Caught him that time. Strikes out. Norm Stephen. And here's Mickey Mantle. And Mickey will be batting right-handed against Leo Carly. Mickey has been on base four times. Two hits, a walk, and he reached on an error. Mr. Carly must pitch very carefully to Mickey Mantle, away from him, definitely. If he gets anything inside, he's liable to find himself behind in the ballgame. Here's the stretch by the left-hander. Pitch to Mickey, low outside, ball one. On deck, Elston Howard. Again, Carly sits. Mantle holding that bat straight up. Swings and misses strike one, and there's that pitch outside. The left-handed fastball that goes away from the right-hand batter, and Mantle trying to pull at that short left field wall. If Carly doesn't make a mistake, Mantle will be in trouble, but if Carly should make a mistake, he'll be the one in trouble. As long as he keeps that ball away and Mantle tries to pull, he's got nothing to worry about. Here's the stretch. The pitch. Low outside, ball two, two and one. Everything will try to be pitched outside. Ryan Duren is warming up all by himself out in the Yankee bullpen, and Murray Wall for the Red Sox. Two balls, one strike on Mickey. Here's a stretch. Bauer dances off first. The pitch. Strike two. Way outside. That one was low and outside, and Mickey really fished for it. Casey's walking up and down the bench. He knows the dangers of this left field wall, how every right-hand hitter tries to pull. And he knows with Mantle's tremendous power, if Mickey should go the opposite way, he could hit one out of here in right field. Two balls, two strikes, two outs. Bauer off first. The pitch, strike three, low and outside. And I mean to tell you that Carly pitched Mantle perfectly. Everything was low and away, and Mickey was trying to pull, and he struck him out. For the Yankees in the top of the ninth, one run on a home run by Nina Slaughter pinch hitting for Bobby Richardson. Two base hits. No Red Sox errors. One man left. Score at the end of 8.5 innings of play. All tied up. The Yankees 4 and the Red Sox 4.
Well, Ryan Duren is out on the mound for the New York Yankees. Johnny Cook pitched the first 4 innings. Tom Sturdivant pitched the next 4 innings. And Duren is coming up here now for the bottom of the ninth. So neither Cook nor Sturdivant can be the winning or the losing pitcher. Right now, it is Ryan Duren's game. Ike DeLock, who started the game for the Red Sox and went 8 1/3 innings, giving up 8 hits and 4 runs, cannot be the winning pitcher. Leo Kiley is the pitcher of record right now. The score is tied 4-4 in the bottom of the ninth. Duren will be facing Jackie Jensen, Frank Malzone, and Dick Gernert. Any one of the three who can hit that ball well over the fence here in Fenway Park. Just a quick look at the scoreboard without the Baltimore leads Washington 7-4 at the end of 7. Kansas City defeated Cleveland 4-3. That's the first loss for Cleveland on the year. Detroit and Chicago postponed cold weather. Pittsburgh and Milwaukee postponed because of cold weather. Chicago at L.A., St. Louis at San Francisco have not gotten underway as yet. And Cincinnati defeated the Phillies 12-5. All right, Jackie Jensen steps into the batter's box. Jensen singles, pops to third, bounce to first. Ryan Duren. The first pitch to Jensen, high ball one. As Duren fogged that ball in there. Duren relieved Art Dittmar down in Baltimore and had a little bit of trouble getting the side out. Before he did, Baltimore went on to win it, though Art Dittmar was charged with the loss. One ball on Jackie Jensen. Duren ready. The pitch, outside ball two, 2-0. Balls and no strikes on Jackie Jensen. Duren into the windup. Pitch is strike one as he swings and misses. And what a cut he had at that one. Whew. If he had hit that one, we'd all be going home and take a shower right now. Balls and one strike to count on Jensen. We're in the bottom of the ninth. Nobody out, nobody on. Score tied 4-4. Duren's next pitch. Low outside, ball three, 3-1. Three balls, one strike to count. Duren's pitch. Strike two. He swings and misses a high inside fastball. Full count on Jensen. Three balls, two strikes. Checks the sign from Elston Howard. Here's the payoff pitch. Low ball four. He lost him. Duren walks Jensen, leading off the bottom of the ninth, puts the winning run at first base. Here's Frank Malzone. Malzone bounced to short, bounced to first, and walked. The Yankees have picked 4 men off base so far in this season. Figuring them out before, they picked off Niemann and Boyd down in Baltimore. Howard to Scarron on one and Ford to Scarron on one. They picked off Button and Malzone here today. Cooks to Kubek,
and Howard is scouring. Jensen leads off first. Here's the stretch. Malzone tries to sacrifice, takes it low, ball one, with Carey charging in and Scarron coming in. One ball. Jerry Lumpy is out at second base, taking over for Bobby Richardson. See, the Yankees have Steven, Mandlin, Bauer in the outfield. Carey, Kubek, Lumpy, and Scarron in the infield. Howard catching. Duren pitching. One ball. Here's the stretch. Jensen with a big lead off first. The pitch is bunted. A good bunt. Scarron stops the second, throws to first in time to get Malzone, and the sacrifice works. From 3-4 from the first baseman to the second baseman. One away, here's Dick Gernert. Gernert is looking in the Red Sox dugout to see if he is going to bat. Dick fly to right. Bounce to short, single to center. The winning run is down at second base. Duren stretches. The pitch, strike one call. And takes plenty of time in between pitches. Jensen leading off second. Duren stretches. Pitch is strike two. Swings and misses a high fastball. Nothing and two on Dick Gernert with one out here in the bottom of the ninth. The score tied 4-4. Jackie Jensen leads off second. Gary Geiger is on deck. The stretch. The pitch is fouled back to the right, out of play. Off the sky view seats, back down into the box seat. Strike. Nothing and two on Jack, on Dick Gernert. Jackie Jensen down at second. Ryan Duren stretches. Pitch is hit high in the air, left field. Going back is Steven, but he's got room in front of the scoreboard. Makes the catch for out number two. And I want to tell you, if this had been yesterday, the ball game would have been over. That would have been a home run. The wind is not blowing out. A high fly ball to left field that pushed Steven back to the scoreboard. Two out. And that'll bring up Gary Geiger. Geiger struck out twice in sacrifice. Left-hand hitter, Elston Howard is out on the mound talking with Ryan Duren. Man, that was a squeaker. Howard and Duren conclude their little confab over there on the mound. Elston comes back at the plate. Two away. They move Norm Sieben way in left field. In the event of a single or left, they want to make sure he'll be able to throw out Jensen. Here's the stretch. Pitch to Geiger. Low ball one. Carey playing deep at third. He'll let Geiger bunt if he wants to. Kubek playing over towards second. Lumpy not too deep at second. And Scarron deep at first. Mantle is deep in center. They sit there with score. And Bauer not too deep in right. two ways during stretches. The pitch is fouled back against the screen, strike one. One strike on Gary Geiger, left hand hitting left fielder for the Red Sox. Jensen down at second. Two outs, scored side 4-4, bottom of the ninth. The pitch is fouled back out of play. One ball, two strikes. On deck, Sammy White. Duren bends down, checks the sign from Elston Holland. The stretch. And the pitch is hit in the air to third away center field. Mickey Mantle, plenty of room, is under it. And makes the catch. And we go into extra innings for the Red Sox in the bottom of the ninth. No runs, no hits, no Yankee errors. One man left. The score at the end of nine full innings. The Yankees 4 and the Red Sox 4. Let's see who the Yankees will be sending up. Elston Howard, Bill Scarron, and Andy Carey to face Leo Kiley. Kiley did a magnificent job of relief pitching in the ninth inning. After Slaughter had pinch hit for Richardson and homered, Boyer had line to first, Bauer had single to center. Kiley came on, struck out Norm Sebring and Mickey Mantle to end the inning. 4-4 here in the top of the 10th. Elston Howard has popped to the catcher, hit into a fourth play, bounced to third, and singled when his double play grounder took a bad hop over Pete Reynolds' head in the eighth inning. The lights went on, and now they're off. And now the plate umpire, Frank Tabachi, has stepped from in back of home plate and wants to know why the lights aren't on. The lights had been put on, and then they went off. And now they're going to play with the lights off, I guess. It's getting a little overcast and a little dark. And now Howard calls time, and Casey Stengel is coming out. Just as Kiley was ready to deliver the first pitch, he wants to know why the lights aren't on. I wish we had a microphone down there now to hear Casey explain this. Casey is tapping the pot. There go the lights. All Casey had to do was walk out there, and the lights came on. You talk about power, that man Stengel got it. All Casey has to do is gesture with that left hand of his. And the lights came on. So it looks like the sun's shining again here in Fenway Park. And now Kiley's ready to pitch to Elston Howard. No count on Ellie. The first pitch is low outside, ball one. Kiley's next pitch is just outside, ball two. That's right where he had pitched Mantle. Mickey was going for that ball. It's about 2 or 3 inches outside of the plate. Two balls, no strikes on Elston Howard. The fastball is on the outside corner, strike one. Two balls, one strike. Next pitch is pop foul out of play. Two balls, two strikes to count. Two balls, two strikes on Elston Howard. Two delivery. Ground ball through the middle. Button makes a beautiful play, throws the fish, and Jennings comes up with a sensational play on both ends by Don Button and Dick Jennings to take a base hit away from Elston Howard. A beautiful play, and that should redeem Button in the hearts of these Red Sox fans. They were getting on him a little bit today. Oh, man, it was a sure base hit. Out to center field, Button came from nowhere, gloved it, threw it off balance into the dirt. Dick Gernot blocked it with his body and his glove, held onto the ball, and the combination of Button and Gernot retire Elston Howard on as fine a fielding play as you'd want to see. One away. Bill Skarin, who's 0 for 4 today, fly to center, fly to left, struck out, popped to short. Kiley sends a pitch in there, strike one, a curveball. Beautiful play. Red Sox have played sparkling defensive ball. They had one lapse in the fifth inning. There's a long, man, that was a base hit that, oh, if that would have hit Kiley in the head, it would have killed him. Fortunately for him, he fell flat on his back as Skarin almost tore Kiley's head off his shoulders. A line drive through the middle. Now they better go out there and call time and slap a little color in Kiley's face, I'll tell you that. Ooh, what a shot that was, Skarin hit. That's the first hit off Kiley. Sammy White is out there on the mound now talking to Leo. I want to tell you, that scares me. Ooh. But we'll always remember that sickening sound of... Now the pitch. Low ball two, 2-0. Two balls, no strikes on Sammy White. Duren's next pitch. High ball three. Whoa, wait a minute. Strike one. Whoa. Two balls and one strike. Frank Tabachi took a little extra time calling that pitch. And that's what threw us off. Two balls, one strike on Sammy White. The pitch. Low ball three. 3-1. 3 balls, 1 strike. Sammy White trying to get on base. Here's a 3-1 pitch. He takes it right down the middle, strike two. 3-2 the count. Count on Sammy White leading off here in the bottom of the 10th. This ball game all tied up 4-4. Duren ready. Here's the payoff pitch. A fly ball to right field. Hank Bauer with plenty of room is back there. Under it. Makes the catch and it's one away. One out and Leo Kiley is due to be the next batter. We're waiting to see if he'll come out. And here comes Kiley. Out of the Red Sox bullpen. With one out here in the bottom of the 10th and nobody on. Kiley bats left-handed just the way he throws them. Steven moves way in left field, carry in at third. First pitch is low inside, ball one. Game is now 3 hours and 8 minutes old. Yesterday's game was 3 hours and 15 minutes. The 1-0 pitch, strike one called, 1-1. One pitch is high outside, ball two, 2-1. balls, one strike. Here's a 2-1 pitch. Swings and misses, strike two, 2-2. Two balls, two strikes, one out. Yankees four and the Red Sox four in the bottom of the 10th. Pitch, strike three, swings and misses. Two away, and here is Don Button, who has been alternately cheered and booed today. He has been cheered for his defensive play at times. He made an error that cost the Red Sox a run. He was also picked off second base that cost the Red Sox a run. But he has played very well out in the field. He's driven in a run with a double. Right-hand batter. Two out here in the bottom of the 10th. Duren ready. Pitch is in there, strike one call. Well, thank you very much, Caddy. My caddy just brought me a glass of water. Curve is swung at, missed, strike two. Two strikes on Don Button. Didn't mention who my caddy was, did I, Pappy? Don't? Okay. I will mention it there. Two strikes. The pitch is pop foul back out of play. Almost caught in the press box here by Jack Murphy. Nothing in two on Don Button. Two out, nobody on. Bottom of the 10th. What a ball game. Tied up at 4-4. The pitch is hit back to the box on one hop. Duren to Skarin for out number three. So for the Red Sox in the bottom of the 10th, no runs, no hits. The Yankee errors, nobody left. Score at the end of 10. The Yankees 4 and the Red Sox 4.
The anniversary of the ride of Paul Revere, isn't that the reason?
Tomorrow?
The Patriots date, and actually today is the day, but they're celebrating tomorrow.
Oh.
Thank you.
I know what Paul Revere said on that ride. What did he say at the end of the ride?
I remember. Oh, boy, I'm tired. No, as I recall, the first lines on the 19th of April in 75, hardly a man who is now alive who remembers that day, famous day in the year, the Midnight Ride of Paul Revere.
Very good, Joe. All you kids listening, if the teacher asks you tomorrow.
Your caddy just got that foul ball, by the way.
No kidding?
Yeah.
You mean Jack Murphy? Oops. I didn't mean to mention that. He did get it? Okay, we're ready to go in the top of the 11th. Tony Kubek will lead off for the Yankees. Kubek is 1-for-4, double back in the fifth inning. Leo Kiely is out on the mound. Pitch is in there, strike one. One strike on Tony Kubek. Kiely ready. Pitch is bunted out and missed, strike two. They also have that big marathon race up here tomorrow, don't they, Joe?
Yes, that'll start in the morning and should be finished before we go on the air, Phil. So
we'll have the results.
We should have, yeah. Uh-huh. People from all over the world competing in that, you know.
Sure, they're from Japan and England. Here's the two-strike pitch just outside ball one.
Matter of fact, all around Boston today and yesterday, you know, you turn a corner and you find one or a pair of fellas practicing.
Uh-huh. One ball, two strikes on Tony Kubek. The pitch is hit on the ground. Gurnett backs up with it. Flips underhand to Carley covering in time to get Kubek one away. One away, and the batter will be Jerry Lumpy up for his first time. Lumpy took over for Richardson after Slaughter pinch hit and hit a home to tie the game in the ninth. Joe, they run that race right on the streets, don't they? I mean, it's
yeah, it's around the metropolitan Boston.
Uh-huh.
I haven't seen a route, you know,
uh-huh.
a picture of the route yet, but I don't know the town that well, Bill.
Uh-huh.
But it's very exciting.
Jerry Lumpy bats him left-handed. The first pitch by Kylie is inside ball one. One out, no one on. Kylie's pitch is lined in a short right field. That's in there for a base hit. Jerry Lumpy singles to right. Hit number two off Kylie. Hit number 10 for the Yankees. There's the tie-breaking run at first. And Ryan Duren is due to be the next batter. Let's see if he'll be coming out. He does. Ryan Duren is coming out to bat for himself. And everyone in the ballpark knows that Duren will be attempting the sacrifice. Duren is not what you'd call a good hitting pitcher. And he will be trying to move Lumpy down to second base. There's one out here in the top of the 11th inning. And the score is tied 4-4. Malzone is way in at third. Gurnett has to hold the bag against Lumpy and then charge him with the pitch. Duren's choking way up on that bat. He's got around the trademark. He takes it high, ball one. He has moved up on the plate so as to get a good view of the ball. Here's the stretch. The pitch, he squares around, takes it inside, ball two, two and nothing. And Kylie, in his anxiety to run in after he pitches the ball, is losing the plate. And Sammy White tells him, don't lose this guy. He's just about an automatic out. Well, I almost guarantee that Duren will be taking this pitch. Two balls, no strikes, one out. Lumpy at first. The pitch is taken, strike one. Is that last year's record, Joe? 1-for-13 Duren had last year. He batted 077, and I remember that hit. He beat out a bunt. With two strikes on him, he beat out a bunt. It was the only hit of last year. We're not ridiculing Duren's batting prowess, but just the fact that he's not a good hitter. Duren swings and misses, and there's that play that Casey Stengel has been pulling with a lot of success. He has the pitcher faking a bunt and then swinging, but Duren missed that sinker. 2-2 the count. Now let's see if he'll be bunting with two strikes on him. The threat of the sacrifice is not over. Casey makes his pitchers bunt with two strikes many times. Duren is really choking up, as the ball players say. They've got Mr. Hildreth by the throat, right up at the trademark. He squares around. Bunch, a good bunch. I'm telling you, that Duren can bunt better with two strikes on him than with no strikes or one strike. He lays down a perfect bunt to sacrifice Lumpy to second base. Oh, boy, I tell you can't figure this game of baseball. Perfect sacrifice from the pitcher to the first baseman. Lumpy, the tie-breaking run is at second, and here's Hank Bowers. Hank is 1-for-3. Pop to the catcher, bounced to short, hit a sacrifice fly to drive in a run, walked and singled. And they're walking Bauer intentionally to pitch to Norm Seaborn. Hank Bauer has given an intentional pass. The first walk by Kylie. Of course, Hank is always dangerous in this park. This is the second time, second game in a row, that Bauer has been at bat six times. So not officially, because he has two walks and a sacrifice. But he's been up to the plate six times. There's There's ball four. Bauer gets an intentional pass. So the Yankees have runners at first and second. With two out here in the top of the 11th, a score tied, 4-4, and the batter Norm Seaborn. Seaborn homered in the first inning, high in the screen, the opposite field in left field. Since then, he has not gotten on base. He bounced to first base, slid to right, again bounced to first, and struck out. Two outs. Infield playing deep, outfield deep, and around towards right. Bauer leads off first, Lumpy off second. Here's the stretch. The pitch is foul tip back, strike one. See, the Red Sox have Pete Reynolds, Gene Stevens, and Jackie Jensen to face during next inning. One strike on Norm Seaborn. Two out, two on. Stretch by Kiley. The pitch is hit foul down the right field line. Strike two. Nothing in two on Seaborn. Kiley is crowding Seaborn with his fastball. Kiley goes to the rosin bag. Rossetti yelling down to Lumpy at second. Haupt coaching at first, talking with Bauer. Two strikes on Norm Seaborn. Two out. 4-4 the score on the top of the 11th. Here's the stretch. The pitch is low inside, ball one. One ball, two strikes. Mickey Mantle is on deck. Blowing out towards left field now, from right field to left field. Highly set. The pitch is strike three ball. A beautiful curveball by Leo Kiley. Catches Seaborn looking. That's strikeout number three for Kiley and for the Yankees in the top of the 11th. No runs, one hit, no Red Sox. There is two men left. Score at the end of 10 and a half innings of play. The Yankees 4 and the Red Sox 4. In the bottom of the 11th with the score tied 4-4. The meat of the Red Sox batting order is coming up. Pete Reynolds, Gene Stevens, and Jackie Jensen, if someone should get on Frank Malzone. The Yankee outfield now loosening up, throwing the baseball around. There's a close play. They've got to get that runner. They haven't been doing it too much this spring. Yankees have Seaborn in left, Mantle in center, Bauer in right. Carey at third, Kubek at short, Lumpy at second, Scarron at first, Howard catching, and Duren pitching. Duren completes his warm-up tosses. Pete Reynolds steps in the batter's box. Frank Sabatini dusts off home plate. And we're ready to go. Reynolds has walked twice, hit to the box, and bounced to second. Very few, if any, of the fans have left the ballpark. Even though it's almost dinner time, fans are sticking right along with it. Here's Duren's first pitch to Reynolds. It's low inside, ball one. Next pitch is swung at, missed, strike one. 1-1 the count. One ball, one strike. Fastball is low. Ball two, 2-1. Wheeler and a slow worker out on the mound. Ready? The fastball is high, ball three. 3-1. The count on Pete Reynolds. Duren's next pitch is ball four. And Reynolds leading off here in the bottom of the 11th. Walk. The second walk given up by Duren. And that's the winning run down at first base. Here's Gene Stevens now, who bounced to second, homered with a man on. Fly to center and struck out. Perry's looking for the sacrifice. He's in a third. Garin is holding Reynolds close at first, ready to charge in with the pitch. On deck, Jackie Jensen. Perry's creeping in. Stevens swings and misses strike one. He was not bunting that time. And he had a ripple at that pitch. Might be the decoy, though. Might have been so that Stevens wants the infield to think he's swinging away and lay one down. Reynolds leads off first. Here's the stretch. Stevens bunts this time, bunts it foul, and back against the screen. Strike two. Nothing in two on Gene Stevens. Strikes the count. Duren stretches. The pitch is hit in the left field. Stevens coming on. He made the catch. A beautiful play by Norm Stevens. And Reynolds gets back to first base. A sinking line drive that Stevens caught sitting down on the grass in short left center field. He almost trapped that ball, but got his glove right on the turf. A fine play by Stephen, a fine play by first base umpire, rather second base umpire Ed Hurley, who ran out there making sure that he didn't trap the ball. One away, Jackie Jensen, the batter. Jackie single, top to third, down into first and walk. Reynolds at first. The stretch. Pitch is hit on the ground. Duren throws back to second for one. Bumpy Straw in standing double play. From 1-4-3, pitcher to second base to first base for the Red Sox in the bottom of the 11th. No runs, no hits, no Yankee errors, nobody left. And the score at the end of 11 full innings. Let's see, the Yankees have 4 runs on 10 hits. No errors. 11 men left on base. All right, Joe? You have 10? I'll give us time to check it. I have 10, too. I counted wrong. 2, 4, 5, 7, 10. And for the Red Sox, 4 runs on 5 hits. They have 2 errors and 1, 2. Only 3 men left on base? That's right. So while we've got time, let's pause for station identification. Mickey, single to center, single to right, walk, reached on an error and struck out. Mantle, Howard, and Scarron to face Leo Carley. Ike Belloc started the game for the Red Sox, won 8 1/3 innings. Carley's first pitch to Mickey is hit on the ground at second base slowly. Reynolds in, one hand throws to first. In time to get Mantle. A beautiful play by Pete Reynolds. Madeline Hulk, kind of a little doubtful whether he was out. It was a chopped ground ball over the pitcher's box. Runnels had to come in, gloved with one hand, threw off balance, just didn't hit Mantle. Nice play by Pete Runnels. One away. A batter, Elston Howard. Elston popped to the catcher, hit into a fourth play, bounced to third, single to center, bounced to short. The pitch to Howard is low, ball one. And just two double plays in this ball game. Joe Ripley and I checking the scorecard. Pitch to Howard is pop foul out of play. Strike one, one and one. One one on Elston Howard. Pitch is fouled on the right field line, going out of play. One ball, two strikes. One ball, two strikes, one on, no one on. Top of the 12th inning. Score tied 4-4. Here's the pitch to Howard. Up, foul outside of first. Gurnett is racing back and can't catch up to it. It's a foul ball, though. One ball, two strikes. He goes to the rosin bag. Looks like Murray Wall is up again in the Red Sox bullpen. Harley's next pitch is just outside, ball two, two and two. That's who it is, Murray Wall. Here's the 2-2 delivery. A ground ball that Carly comes up with, how I don't know, and throws to first in time for the out. Oh, oh boy, what a play he made. There was a hot shot back, not hit quite as hard as Scourin's. That almost took Carly's head off back in the 10th inning, but line drive, one hopper. Carly just stuck his glove down and came up with it on one short hop. Fired to first for the out, two away. Brings up Bill Scourin. Moose is one for five. He singled in the 10th inning. Carly's first pitch is lined in the center field. Another solid base hit for the Moose. It was Scourin who low-bridged Carly in the 10th inning. And Scourin again who lines the single to center. And here's Andy Carey. Carey is one for five. He singled back in the 6th inning. The 11 hits for the Yankees in the ballgame. Stretch by Carly. The pitch to Carey is low inside, ball one, as he tried to curve him. Carly has been throwing mostly fastballs that break away and down from the right-hand batter. And Sammy White, who has been disagreeing with plate umpire Frank Sabatchi all afternoon, has just disagreed on another call. But you can't win when you argue with the umpire unless it's an infraction of the rule. Carey steps out of the box. That discussion irritated him a little bit. He must... Stretch by Kylie. The pitch to Carey is outside, ball two, 2-0. Darren is at first. He represents the tie-breaking run in this ballgame. We're in the top of the 12th. 4-4 to score. 2-0 on Andy Carey. The stretch. The pitch is hit foul. Yankee bat boy up with it. 2-1. On deck, Tony Kubek. Collie checks the sign from Sammy White. Barron leading off first. The stretch. The pitch is lined in the left field. A base hit for Carey. And holding at second is Scarron. Holding at first is Carey. Now that's hit number four off Leo Collie. And Scarron has two. Carey has one. Lumpy had the other one. And that'll bring up Tony Kubek. Kubek has one double in five times at bat. He got that in the fifth inning. Scarron at second, Carey at first. The pitch is a curve inside, ball one. Yankees had 18 hits yesterday and 16 runs. Today they have 12 hits but 4 runs. Of course, the wind was blowing hard yesterday. A lot of long balls went up in the screen for homers. A stretch by Collie. The pitch to Kubek is hit on the ground slowly to short. Button up with it. Over to Gurney, just in time to get Kubek by a step. That's all for the Yankee threat here in the top of the 12th. No runs, two hits, no Red Sox. There is two men left. Score at the end of 11 and a half innings of play. Still tied up, the Yankees 4 and the Red Sox 4. The bottom of the 12th inning. The Yankees and the Red Sox. Ryan Duren is pitching his fourth inning. Johnny Crook started, pitched four innings, gave up four hits and three runs. Tom Sturdivant came on, pitched four innings, gave up one hit and one run. Ryan Duren is now in his fourth inning. Duren has not allowed a base hit or a run as yet. Frank Malzone is leading off. In the bottom of the 12th, Malzone has bounced to short, bounced to third, walked, and sacrificed. He's 0-2. The first pitch to Malzone is low, ball one. One ball on Frank Malzone. My voice is giving out. The 1-0 pitch is hit in the line deep to left field, way, way back. And up in the screen for a home run, and the ball game is over. Gets his first home run of the year, his first RBI of the year, and the Red Sox win a tremendously thrilling ball game here at Fenway Park, 5-4. Many, many thrills here today. A tough break for the Yankees and Ryan Duren, and a great win for the Red Sox and Leo Collie. A 12th inning home run that just did get up on the screen in left center field by Frank Malzone, and it was Frank's first homer and first RBI of the year. Well, sir, we sure hope you enjoyed that game, because we did. Now I'm going to help myself to something I know you'll enjoy, the crisp, refresher Ballantine beer. It's the crisp kind of light with true lager flavor. That's Ballantine's. No wonder it's the largest selling beer in the East. Joe Ripley is getting the totals ready. And while he does, I just want to remind you that we'll have another game in the 13th straight year of baseball in Ballantyne when the Yankees meet the Red Sox tomorrow, right here at Fenway Park on Patriots Day. Airtime, 1:55 p.m., game time, 2 p.m. Here are the totals. For the Red Sox, 5 runs on just 6 hits. 2 errors, 3 men left. For the Yankees, 4 runs on 12 hits. No errors and 12 men left. The winning pitcher is Leo Carli, who has now won one and lost none. The loser is Ryan Duren, who has won none and lost one. The official attendance for today was 20,707, which is the biggest crowd of the year here at Fenway Park so far. It was a very exciting ball game. In the first inning, Norm Seaborn homered in the left field screen for the Yankees' first run. In the fifth inning, the Yankees got one more when Kubek doubled and Budden booted the ball. And then on a pass ball by Sammy White, the runners advanced and Bauer hit a sacrifice fly to left. They scored one more in the sixth. And their final run in the ninth inning when Enos Country Slaughter, that amazing man from North Carolina, came up and pinch hit a home run to tie up the ball game. All the scoring for the Yankees. The Red Sox scored 3 in the third inning, featured by a 2-run homer by Gene Stevens, 1 in the seventh, and the final run in the 12th inning by Frank Malzone, a home run leading off the bottom of the 12th. We had some fine pitching by Johnny Cooks, Tom Sturtevant, and Ryan Duren for the Yankees, and Ike DeLock, who went 8 in the third inning for the Red Sox, and Leo Carli, who finished up. So this is Phil Rizzuto saying so long for Mel Allen, Joe Ripley, Pappy Durkin, and for Ballantyne Beer, the crisp refresher. And of
course, keep your car on the ground. For business or pleasure, in any kind of weather, Atlantic keeps your car on the ground.
When you want to go places and do things, what a pleasure your driving can be.
For quality products and top service, your Atlantic dealer is the man to see. Atlantic keeps your car on the go, 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 go. Keep on the go with Atlantic.
This is WOKO, Albany, New York. WOKO time, 5:45. It's Baseball Roundup. And speaking of baseball, you'll score a home run when you visit Troy Buick. Both Troy Buick branches backed by 50 years of reliability and dependability. Both Troy Buick branches give easier GMAC terms, higher trade. For that safe used car at Troy Buick's used car branch, 107th Street, corner of 2nd Avenue, Troy. For that 59 Buick, it's Troy Buick at 2781 6th Avenue, Troy. Well, it was a long one and a profitable one for the Red Sox this afternoon. Frank Malzone came up against Ryan Duren in the 12th inning, as you heard. Or perhaps you're just tuning in and swatted a home run into the left field seats, that ever-inviting left field section of Fenway Park, to give the Boston Red Sox another win over the New York Yankees. We'll look at the totals for the game as well as scores of the rest of the leagues in just a moment. There's something special about owning a 59 Buick, and that's why Troy Buick at 2781 6th Avenue in Troy is proud to invite you to see, inspect, test drive the car for 59 Buick. The Sabre, Invicta, Electra, there's a 59 Buick within your budget, within your reach. A 59 Buick that you'll love to own. And here's a big chance to own a 59 Buick absolutely free. Visit Troy Buick, test drive the Buick of your choice, and then pick up your official entry blank for Buick's bonus mileage bonanza. You may win a Buick Sabre, a Buick Electra, a trip to Hollywood, over 1,000 other prizes. And while you're browsing around Troy Buick's quarter-block-long showroom, inspect the Opel, Europe's most distinguished economy car, known throughout Europe as the king of dependability. Get higher trade on your present car, easier GMAC terms, reliability and dependability, 50 years of automobile experience.
Get them all at Troy Buick, 2781 6th Avenue, Troy. Open daily till 9, Saturday till 5 p.m. Remember, drive to arrive alive. All right, for Boston to win it. 5 runs, 6 hits, 2 errors for the New York Yankees. 4 runs. They doubled the output of the Red Sox. 12 hits. They played errorless ball. Leo Kiely in relief of Ike DeLock, the winner. Ryan Duren accepted the loss. For New York, home runs by Norm Seaborn and Enos Slaughter, the old man of baseball, pinch hitting in the ninth to tie the score. Gene Stevens in the third, and Frank Malzone, the clincher in the 12th inning. Elsewhere in the American League, in the first game of a doubleheader, Baltimore 12, or rather 7-12 and 1, Washington 5-11 and nothing. Ernie Johnson, the winner, in relief. Camilo Pascual lost it. Reno Batoya for Washington, a home run in the first with the bases empty, his third. Cleveland finally had its winning streak stopped by Kansas City, who came up with 4 runs against Herbie Score in the ninth inning. Score had them shut out till then. They won it on 4 runs, 6 hits, and no errors to Cleveland. 3 runs, 7 hits, and no errors. Herbie Score, the loser. Ray Herbert went all the way to win it. Bill Tuttle of Kansas City, a home run in the ninth with the bases empty. That started the rally. Woody Howes came back and hit one for Cleveland in the bottom of the ninth. It was not enough. Bases empty, his fifth. Turning now to the National League, Cincinnati blasted Philadelphia 12-12-0 to 5-6-0. Maybe won it, and Jim Owens lost to Frank Robinson, a home run for Cincinnati in the seventh with one on his third. We have a three-inning score from the West Coast. At the end of that time, San Francisco leads St. Louis 2-0. Johnny Antonelli in quest of his third straight win. Larry Jackson on the hill for St. Louis. Two postponements. In the American League, the Detroit-Chicago game postponed because of rain and cold weather, and likewise, Pittsburgh at Milwaukee. That's it in baseball. Baseball Roundup was presented by Troy Buick. Remember, there's no walking home when you drive a National Bonded Warranty used car from Troy Buick Used Car Branch. 107th Street, corner of 2nd Avenue in Troy. Or a 59 Buick from Troy Buick at 2781 6th Avenue, Troy. You're guaranteed reliability and dependability. Visit Troy Buick. Both branches open daily till 9, Saturday till 5 p.m.